Starmie, welcome to our podcast.
Woo! Thank you so much for downloading it. You're amazing.
We would like to talk just for a moment about Bear Canyon CrossFit.
Mm-hmm. They've officially sponsored our podcast.
Yeah, amazing. Shout out.
Thank you, Bear Canyon CrossFit. They're up on Eubank and Osuna. And if you're looking to maybe shred the weight, the fat like me, well, you need to hit Bear Canyon CrossFit.
Dex, you're looking great today.
You are looking
pretty
good.
You look like you've lost like
1,000
pounds.
I did. 1,005 pounds.
1,005 pounds. That's good. That's got to be a record.
Yeah, well, it's
got to be a record.
Not true at all. It's worth the money that you're going to invest. $115 a month, unlimited CrossFit with a 12-month contract.
I like that. And, of course, we're all there at Bear Canyon doing it ourselves. I mean, I'm not needing to lose any pounds. But it is actually making me eat healthier, so my diet's improved, my sleep regimen has improved, and my mental well-being has improved just by working out.
Bear Canyon CrossFit, Eubank, and Osuna.
BearCanyonCrossFit.com. You can sign up for your free first class. There you go.
The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
Just curious, do you happen to know what today is?
It's Halloween. Just say it's Halloween.
It's Halloween.
Every Halloween, trees are filled with underwear.
Am I the only one weirded out by this?
There's something going on which we cannot explain.
Will you turn off his mic?
Which one is his?
He's
don't know what it is.
He's two.
You've never
turned off his mic. I get it.
What?
We both grew up in an awkward situation. I was too skinny. You couldn't fit into clothes. Teo, on the other hand, he's a Ken doll.
He is a Ken doll.
He's a perfect specimen of a man.
He's like Donald Trump in the early years.
I used to be Woody from Toy Story. I had the skinny arms. And then the old Buzz Lightyear showed up with his flashing laser lights and nobody pays attention to him.
I get it.
It's hard for somebody who craves attention.
The struggle's real.
Hey, how about we team up, buddy? I won't mock your size and you don't make fun of the fact that you can see my hip bones.
Yeah, but you always make fun of my fatness.
Listen, no more. Let's team up.
I don't know if I believe
you. You and me versus Teo for life.
I don't trust you.
Come on.
My wall's up. My wall is too high.
Stop it! We can do this. Hey.
Get that sledgehammer and break
right there.
Down the walls.
Let's go. Make America great again on three.
No.
One. What?
You can't say that. I don't trust him anymore. Teo?
Hey.
What lab did these little clones escape from?
Trick or treat!
When Halloween trick-or-treaters come around.
The scariest, most frightening day of the year.
With the best Halloween candy in their neighborhood.
Hold it, lady. Wait a second. What is this? The orange marshmallow shaped like a big peanut? Do me a favor. You keep that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Spooky outside this morning.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, you know what you do when you're scared. You guys know. Come on, you dance.
What?
It creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the room.
Need another one. Oh my gosh.
Whoa, there's a goblin! Oh my gosh!
Oh! Welcome to the program, everybody, on a Halloween. 6:10 in the a.m.
High today of 77 degrees.
Spooky.
Okay.
Whoa. Who brought the fog machine?
That was me.
You know what? When I worked over at iHeart, I brought the fog machine into the studio one time, and the engineers almost killed me.
Yeah.
Because it'll start a fire. It's not good for the electrical equipment. I'm going to have to pack this up.
Mm.
I'm sorry, Teo.
It's the Holy Ghost machine.
I know.
If there was sorry. Ever a day to break out the Holy Ghost machine, surely it would be Halloween,
not
right?
Not going
to
happen.
Man.
You guys ready for a big, jam-packed Halloween show?
I am!
I'm so ready. I watched a special on the History Channel about Halloween last
night.
Did you?
Nice.
And it was how it went from like its super pagan occult origin
to commercialism
to the modern day commercialized Halloween.
Amazing.
And you would be, I was shocked at the influence of the church. Most of the things that we have in Halloween now that are even viewed as bad came from the church.
Wow.
It came from the church's influence on Halloween. It's pretty shocking, but it was neat. Like, we think creepy clowns is bad.
Yeah.
Did you guys know in 1933 it was called Black Halloween?
Black Halloween?
Because it was so bad things got so
like the
bad.
Purge?
It was in 1933, and a lot of people think it was the Depression's influence on everybody.
Yeah.
But vandalism and kids doing insane stuff got so bad they called it the Black Halloween.
Wow. Oh.
And so then there was a national effort to tame Halloween, and that's where a ton of our modern day Halloween, that's
wow.
where trick-or-treating came back into play. That which trick-or-treating actually started with this old tradition in the Catholic Church called, what was it called?
Communion.
Souling. No, it was called souling. You would go out souling. It's crazy stuff. All this crazy stuff. And they were like bringing stuff back and commercializing it.
Wow.
And then like where all the iconography.
Yeah.
Like pumpkins and bats and witches and all that stuff, like where it all came from. And then to tame Halloween, it all got commercialized in the 30s and 40s. And it worked.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It in some Scottish towns, Halloween used to be called Cabbage Night.
What?
Girls would use the cabbage stumps to determine their future husbands.
I don't even know how that works.
Do you know where the jack-o'-lantern came from?
No.
Tell me.
It Kansas. Started off in... It was either Scotland or England. I think it was Scotland. This old tale about Jack, this dude named Jack, who was so mischievous, he got kicked out of hell.
Ooh.
Yeah, and this is just a story, everybody.
Right.
This is how the legend goes. So the devil got sick of him and kicked him out of hell, but he had a little compassion on him.
What?
And gave him a lantern, because he was going to be wandering the earth forever.
Gosh.
And the lantern was a hollowed-out radish. And that's where jack-o'-lanterns came from. Now, when it was either Scottish or Irish brought this over to America in the New World, America did what America does and upsized the lantern.
I was going to say, we made them bigger.
And that's where pumpkins started popping up.
Wow.
And so even in the pumpkin, it's like, well, why do pumpkins look the way they do? They represent a skull. That's why you have the triangular nose.
Sure.
And the jagged mouth and the eyes.
Yeah.
And mine was the crow.
The crow?
Yeah, my pumpkin this year.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. It looked really cool.
We had fun.
You guys did a great job.
You should have come.
This is the first year we didn't get pumpkins.
You should have.
So bummed.
The Petersons had like 20, and it was like, everybody get a pumpkin. Yeah. We're
it
all carved.
Why are they the coolest family ever?
Dude, they really are the coolest.
It was fun until I got sick.
Yeah.
I was over there I didn't eat
Jack's
anything. I didn't drink anything.
That's him right
really?
Now. Yep.
Yeah. It's going around. A little stomach bug.
A little bug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a big basketball tourney with Landon, so that's what I was doing.
Dude, Friday, I saw my otolaryngologist, so...
That's cool.
Yeah, he wouldn't
Did he diagnose what's
right
wrong with your car?
No, it's a throat guy.
Otolaryngonomist.
Alungamondonomist.
Sounds like a dinosaur.
He wrote down what his specific specialty is, and he's got like an even longer title.
Ooh.
But I left it at home. I was going to try and bring it and make all of us.
Are you going to stay away from coffee?
Yes.
That's probably smart.
Hi, guys. I got diagnosed. I've been losing my voice, and it's a real thing. It's not just that I talk too much. There's real things happening with my vocal cords. They stuck a camera through my nostril down
into
my throat.
Oh my gosh, how did that feel?
It was awful.
Yeah, Dawn said they did that to her back when she had her vocal issues, and she said it really
did
is
you go,
awful.
Well, yeah, because it's like, you know, sometimes people like to go through the throat, but, I mean, the gag reflex, so we're going to go through your nostril.
What?
I'm just going to look and see. Your right nostril's a little larger than your left nostril. All right, I'm going to put two different medicines in here.
Did
one
it go
them,
up there pretty, like, did they
yeah,
have to
slow.
Jam it up there?
Dude, it was slow, but I was like, he's still going. It was like this really long snake, you know what I mean?
Beautiful.
With a light and, like, a camera on the end, and it's
beautiful.
Like, and he's just still just feeding it just slowly. Okay, stop. Slow.
And you get to watch it the whole
and
time?
And you could feel, I could just feel it.
Did they have video of it where you were watching it?
I wasn't watching anything. I mostly had my eyes closed because it was like, all right, now I've got this giant tube going from your right nostril all the way into your vocal cords. I'm going to need you to go, all right. Okay, good. Okay, now. And I'm like,
You probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, actually, clearing your throat, this is why I had this all weekend just with me. Clearing your throat actually can damage your vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
And I clear my throat. He counted.
You're making my throat.
I was there for like 10 minutes, and he was like, you've cleared your throat 10 times.
Wow.
Like, that's, you're damaging your throat.
Wow.
Man.
So, maximum one cup of coffee a day.
Yeah, let's just get rid of that.
Or one thing of caffeine.
Make it the good one.
No more spicy food. Huh. No more acidic type food. Chocolate.
You can't have fruit.
Mint. Oranges, like
oranges,
no.
Man.
And this isn't like a, for now, this is like forever. Lifestyle change. Because I'm also supposed to be on doctor's orders 2 weeks of vocal rest. But no
he,
talking.
He can't because he works like, with his voice.
Yeah, I work in radio.
Don't Sorry, whisper. Man. That's bad, too.
Yeah, that's actually whispering's
really?
Worse. Yeah. Whispering's worse. So anyways, guys, this is the newer, healthier me. I will not be screaming anymore. Not allowed to raise my voice. According to my otolaryngologist I saw
and this
on Friday,
is,
because
is,
I could actually lose my voice.
Look, I don't want you to raise your voice, but I give you 10 minutes.
Right?
Did you say that this was...
Forever.
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 Forever. Yeah.
Halloween.
I got to drink water. But I already drink like 80 to 100 ounces a day.
I'm sorry, you'll never be able to sing again.
No, I sang this weekend at church, actually. Yeah.
Steve-O.
But I didn't speak all Friday.
I don't care.
Friday night, I'm gonna get a dry erase board and just carry it around with me when the show's over.
Hey, turn your headphones up, man.
I actually did. I turned them up to 5.
Good job.
Huh? Trying,
Good
guys.
Good job.
Trying. I need my vocal cords because they are actually damaged.
Guys,
so.
I found...
Yep.
I found the quick write-up of the special that I watched on the History Channel.
Ooh, okay. Mm.
Which, by the way, when you're sick, if you're me, you sit there and you watch History Channel all day.
Yeah.
I love the History Channel.
That's so odd.
It is not real history anymore. It is mostly just stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's why I love it.
You know what? I'm the same way.
I love it.
The
history
I love
of
it.
Bigfoot. Ancient aliens. let's see. What did I watch? America Unearthed, which is probably the stupidest show. This guy's like, I'm going to find the Ark of the Covenant in America.
Oh, I love that
oh,
one.
Oh, God.
I watched
so
that one.
Dumb. I started reading critical critiques, like for real critiques of that show. And he just gets written. Number one, it was like forensic geologist. So then I looked up, there are forensic geologists, just to make sure. But this guy, he's a knucklehead.
You never know, man. It could be here in America.
It's not.
Well,
it's definitely not. And yeah, it was a fun day, though. I had a good time.
Good.
I also watched Pacific Rim.
Is that the first time you had seen it?
No, we went to the theater to see it. But this
was
the first time I'd watched it since the theater. Let's see, what else? And Godzilla with Bryan Cranston.
Godzilla?
He died too early, but it was fun.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope you
And
hope
Beans
you
and
better.
Panda took care of me.
Good. Well, it was a big weekend.
The Cubs' last World Series win at Wrigley, Game 6, 1945 against Detroit, October 8th. It's the 30th of October, 2016. There will be a Game 6. Cubs win it 3-2.
Dude, that was a 102-mile-an-hour fastball.
Really?
That's 102 cool. miles an hour struck him out. He had been in since the seventh inning. Haroldus Chapman.
Beautiful.
You were my new hero.
The Cubs kept their World Series dreams alive last night by holding off the Indians by a score of 3-2. That came after Cleveland pushed them to the brink by winning the first two at Wrigley. 1-0 on Friday night, 7-2 on Saturday.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal, guys. I love my bride. I have a wife who loves sports, and it's very rare. So, Chrissy, I love you. Last night, we were, like, flipping as fast as possible between the Cowboys game and the Cubs game. And it was like, we're watching the World Series and football at the same time in my house. Thank you, Lord. My wife is awesome.
Did you do the split screen? You should have done the split screen.
The best part was, it was like, what are we going to do? The World Series and your team is playing at the same time. And she's like, I wish we had picture in picture. And I'm like, wow, 1998 just called. Picture in picture, really? Remember picture in picture?
Yeah.
Do they still make that?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah. Just bring it up on the old Pip.
Picture in picture.
Yeah, dude. It was a phenomenal game. The Cubs World Series was so impressive last night. They brought out Haroldus Chapman, their closer, in the seventh inning. Normally a closer, they've got like 20 pitches on them max because they throw heat. And Aroldis Chapman throws like 101, 102 miles an hour. Mm. They brought him in with one out in the seventh inning. So it was like banking on him getting eight outs instead of three. Man. Four out saves are hard to come by. Oh, man.
How long was the game last night?
Forever.
Hey, man, how long did it last?
Forever.
It was a long game.
It was a long game, actually, because it started... it was shorter than the four-hour, four-minute game.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Well, let me go over a few highlights from baseball. You'll enjoy these. Bill Murray sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Take me out.
He did it during the seventh inning stretch.
Game.
And he... did it in a Daffy Duck voice.
It was strange. I love
and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root for the if they don't win, it's a shame for it.
I love that man.
Oh, man. Bill Murray. He was there last night, of course, as was John Cusack. That was Friday night's game, right? Friday night. And then Saturday night was Vince Vaughn. They were just like, Vince Vaughn on Saturday. And then last night was Eddie Vedder, and I lost my mind.
Oh, I bet you did.
Eddie Vedder, he did harmonies along with Harry Carey. They had Harry Carey's original audio.
Beautiful.
He was on the video on the Titantron. It was so great.
Wrigley Field was packed with celebrities over the weekend, maybe because, they could actually pay the outrageous ticket prices.
Right.
And for what it's worth, even the celebrities don't like that the place is filled with celebrities. Billy Corgan said, quote, "I don't talk to other Cubbies. In fact, I'm anti-Cubs celebrity.
Cubrities.
What?
They tend to show up when the playoffs are around. I don't necessarily see them in June. I might be a little biased being a Chicago guy year round.
Chicagoan?
Yeah.
Chicagoan.
A Chicago guy.
Chicagoan. Chicagoan. Chicagoan.
Chicagoan.
You know who was there? Baxter was there.
Yeah, dude.
I don't think he got in.
I've had so many friends randomly, like random
taking
friends.
Pictures of outside the
and
Wrigley
they're
field.
There. Yeah. They're at Wrigley, and they're like, "Let's do this." I'm like, "How did you get there, Adam?"
Yeah. I don't know if Baxter got in or not, but because of the ticket prices, but maybe. Yeah. Maybe you did.
Is that what people are doing? They're just driving up there and then buying them out in the parking lot?
Yeah, just to be there. I would imagine just to be there outside of Wrigley Field would be magical.
What a waste! Am I right?
Got a comment on the live line. Good morning, fellas. It was really nice to finally meet you, Steve-O. You have a beautiful family. Oh, go Raiders. Who? That's from Omar.
Omar!
I met Omar in a Walmart parking lot this weekend.
Yeah. Omar's a good guy.
He is awesome. And it was after I got my throat scope, so it was like, I'm not supposed to be talking. But I totally was like, I can't not talk to Omar.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Omar.
He was a rad dude. Yeah. His whole family was cool.
Mm-hmm. Now, if there's one thing Cubs fans should be well aware of by now, it's avoiding becoming the next Bartman.
Oh, dude.
And there was a close call in the third inning last night. Jason Hayward was running over to the railing in foul territory to make a catch when a fan reached for the ball, and he was a foot or two away from Hayward. He was a Cubs fan, and yeah, that's a no-no.
What is a Bartman?
Okay, so Bartman. Okay, Kyle Bartman. It was 2006?
Is this Dude the Bartman?
Oh. No.
Dude the Bartman.
Okay, you'll see Halloween costumes. He's got... inevitably, like a set of headphones, orange little old school Walkman headphones, glasses, Cubs hat, Cubs jersey. In 2006, I want to say, it was the NLCS, right? And the Cubbies were on the verge of like, we can go to the World Series. And a ball popped into foul territory, and he wasn't paying attention and was like, I'm going to get this ball, and interfered with the Cubs outfielder.
Oh, no.
And got the ball. And the Cubs didn't get the out, they lost that game.
It was Bartman's fault.
They were winning, and then they just fell apart.
What was that
movie? And it was like, this dude is going to be blamed forever. Mm-hmm. Forever. Yeah.
What was Jimmy Fallon's movie that happened to him?
Fever Pitch.
Fever Pitch.
Didn't that happen to him?
Wait. In the movie?
Didn't that happen?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was they actually had to rewrite that movie. They rewrote the ending of that movie.
Why?
I don't know if you guys know this.
We don't.
Because he was a huge Boston Red Sox fan. And the Boston Red Sox hadn't been to the World Series since like the early 1900s. And then all of a sudden, as they're filming that movie, the Boston Red Sox went to the World Series.
Oh, wow.
And so the end of the movie, that was real. They were filming that actually on the field as the Red Sox won the World Series.
That's awesome.
Man. Yeah. They had to change the movie.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Our last one here. Indians manager Terry Francona?
Francona.
Said he was so hyped up on Saturday night that he couldn't sleep, so he ordered $44 worth of ice cream from room service.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, I had the brownie sundae. I had two orders of chocolate and two orders of vanilla with chocolate sauce. And then, to kind of keep it healthy, I ordered the berries. Oh, and a Diet Coke. The order was placed at 3:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Manager of the Cleveland Indians. I'll tell you what, I'm not rooting for the Cleveland Indians, but I very much like Terry Francona. He's a phenomenal manager.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Well, there you go. So it looks like they'll be heading back to Cleveland on Tuesday.
Cleveland rocks. Oh, man.
The Indians lead the series 3-2. Rocks.
Coming up. Yep. We got to talk more sports because we're a sports AM radio station.
What?
Yeah, man. Dak Prescott.
Oh, hey, ooh. Let me play this in the background.
Dak Prescott.
Reliant K put out a Halloween EP last week.
What?
They just released it out of nowhere. So it's three songs.
Cool. But I'm not
gonna. So we'll play some of that today.
I don't know. I'd rather scare the living daylight out of you. Big show today. We'll tell you all about it. 585 Live is the number to text us. Headlines, the roads. We got a celebrity calling us this morning.
We do,
yeah. We'll talk about it next.
The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Tao.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
World Series Game 5.
Democratic and Republican lawmakers are calling on FBI Director James Comey to release more information about emails potentially tied to Hillary Clinton.
Speaking Sunday on ABC's This Week, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Robert Goodlatte, said he had spoken to Comey on Saturday and asked him to release more information as soon as possible.
I think that he is very conscious of the controversy that has existed in the FBI and in the Justice Department.
The emails were discovered as part of an investigation into former Congressman Anthony Weiner.
Italy struck with another earthquake.
The quake was the strongest in nearly 36 years.
More than 100 people on an American Airlines flight from Los Angeles to Toronto are safe after the plane was diverted to Denver.
Halloween weekend helped give Boo, Madea, Halloween some staying power.
Children today, you got to drop the hammer on them.
What's the worst that can happen to her? How you think I met your mama?
Almost 17 million more in tickets this weekend, followed by Inferno, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, The Accountant, and Ouija.
Tell me, baby, I wanna know. Oh, come on, baby, I wanna know. Have you seen the stands that the zombies do? They've got some mixed-up steps, but so easy to do.
6:40, good morning.
High today of 77 degrees.
How are we looking on the road?
Traffic. So far, nothing to report, but it's early. Lots of road construction. Be careful. That's really good traffic.
You guys, be careful tonight. Make sure you put reflective gear on your children.
Reflective gear!
Caleb, my 15-year-old son, said, I'm going trick-or-treating tonight, Dad. Oh, yeah? You are, huh? I don't think I'm gonna let him out of the house tonight.
What? Come on.
No, he's not going trick-or-treating. He's 15 years old. You can't go trick-or-treating when you're 15.
Why not?
I'm on to him.
That's smart, man. Smart. Mm-hmm. If he's a fan of candy, that's how you get free stuff.
Yeah, I'm on to him and his best friend, Thershawn.
What's
I know
his
what
name?
You guys are doing. Thershawn.
Thur?
Yeah, Thershawn.
Okay.
What?
Thershawn.
Thershawn?
Thershawn.
It's Native American.
Thershawn.
Mm-hmm.
Spell that.
T-H-U-R.
Oh, okay.
S-H-A-W.
N.
N-N-N-N-N.
E.
E. Yeah, I'm on to you guys. I'll be watching. I'll be watching.
Yeah, you will.
We got 61 days left this year.
How many days until Doctor Strange?
Oh, man.
Like four.
I'm so
four
excited.
Days away. Unbelievable, guys. It's crazy. On this day. Whoa. Yo. Okay. On this day, 1,001. Okay.
What are you
doing? The stomach. Oh!
Gosh, are you all right?
I'm all right.
What is happening?
I don't know, man.
On this day, 1,182 years ago, in 834 AD, the Roman Catholic Church moved All Hallows Eve to October 31st. The celebration has been established to honor the saints. Now it mostly honors zombies, sparkly vampires.
Rawr.
Harley Quinn. Going to be a lot of Harley Quinns out tonight.
Gosh, Harley Quinn is literally the most overdone costume this year.
Yep.
In 1926, Harry Houdini found the one thing he couldn't escape.
Death.
He died in a Detroit hospital of gangrene, resulting from a ruptured appendix following a punch to the stomach. Mm. How old is Willow Smith today?
Wait, Willow Smith, like Will Smith's kid?
Mm-hmm.
16. 20.
16, Steve-O. Good job.
Wow.
Ugh.
Vanilla Ice has a Halloween birthday.
Does he?
46.
43.
49.
Mm. I saw Turtles 2 this weekend, guys.
I know you did.
It was
gosh. Did you hear they're going to reboot it?
What?
Yeah,
that's what
not,
I heard.
They're not making a 3. It didn't
really?
Make any money at the box office.
Yeah, because it did terrible. Ah!
I liked it better than the first one. It was so
I did too.
Fun.
Yeah, it was fun. But it didn't make any money, so the producer guy, or the director, I read that interview, he was saying he bets there'll be another Turtles movie, but it won't be Turtles 3.
Dang it. I liked Seamus, man.
Yeah.
Bebop and Rocksteady were cool.
Dan Rather celebrating a Halloween birthday. Yeah.
69.
73.
Guys, he's 85.
Whoa.
Wow.
Snap. Snap, Dan.
Forever.
Forever?
Forever.
There was big news over the weekend locally. The girl, the car, and the suspects were found after the morning carjacking that we all heard about.
Yeah. We announced
Did that
right
happen
away.
Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Happened
Friday morning, 6:30.
I recall that the girl was found a little later that day, but I didn't know that the suspects in the car were all found, too.
Yeah.
But we have a clip, so let's find out.
It was about 6:30 this morning when police sent out this photo looking for the little girl who investigators say was abducted during an alleged carjacking in southeast Albuquerque. Luckily, within an hour, Isabella was found safe at a campground in Bernalillo.
Her car seat was right here. She was sitting in it, but she was crying.
Within 2 hours, police found the stolen car outside of this mobile home, also in Bernalillo.
Every officer's heart sunk.
Police say it all started early this morning when a woman asked Isabella's parents for a ride near Central and San Pedro. The couple agreed and then drove down the road to pick up work equipment. When mom and dad were both out of the car, investigators say the woman jumped into the driver's seat and drove off with little Isabella inside.
We do believe that that individual who abducted the child knew the child was in the car. That's what makes this more horrific.
Investigators questioned mom and dad separately at the scene and took the father into custody, but we still don't know why. It was a campground employee who spun in the dirt, still in her car seat, shivering and crying as she clutched her strawberry milk.
Oh, poor thing. I'm so glad she's okay.
Me too.
Gosh.
Oh, man. The website Vox.com just came up with a list of the best and worst candy to get on Halloween, which is today. They say the best ones. Ready? Kit Kat, Starburst, Twix, Milky Way, Skittles, Cowtails? Have you
Never
guys
had
ever
a
had
Cowtails?
I don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't agree with them being on the
what?
Best.
What? Love them.
Jolly Ranchers, Haribo Gummy Bears. Those are the best. Snickers, Reese's, Peanut Butter Cups. Do you guys say Reese's or Reese's?
Reese's.
Okay, good.
Reese's Pieces.
The worst candies. Tootsie Rolls, Tootsie Pops, ugh, Mike and Ike, Twizzlers, Almond Joy, Raisinets, Mounds, Smarties, Nestle Crunch, Laffy Taffy, and Hershey's Miniatures.
I can pretty much get down with all that.
Oh, we need to play this. We need to play this song right now in the background. This comes from Reliant K's Halloween EP. It's about candy.
Candy.
It's called The Cup.
But three cheers for three musketeers.
Not a fan.
Out there fighting the good low-fat food fight all night. That's right, three cheers for three musketeers.
I like it.
Beautiful.
So cool.
What's your favorite Halloween candy? I know we talked about it the other day, but let's rehash.
Dude, I feel weird saying this. I don't know if it's the gym or if it's just healthy eating, but like, I'm not doing well with sweets.
Yeah?
Like, I'm just not into them. We have a ton of candy in the house right now, and I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
I skipped out on, they had a giant Rebel donut cake yesterday. Ooh. at our friend's daughter's birthday party. It was like, seriously, the biggest donut I've ever seen. And they're like cutting it up. It smelled good. I was just staring at it going, nope.
Man.
Didn't do it.
You're a sugar snob now.
No, I can't do it, man. I
love runts.
That vegan diet.
I love Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka candies.
Yeah, so like nerds.
Love nerds.
I like nerds.
That's yeah, the nerds. Halloween nerds are good.
Anything peanut butter, Kit Kat, I'm down.
Ugh.
Snickers.
I'm not a chocolate guy.
I hate taffy.
How about we go with the old peanut patty?
Peanut patty.
I love the red ones. No. You know, they're like hockey pucks.
Oh, no.
No.
I gave one to Stovall. Way back when that Waverly show was happening in like Artesia or wherever we were driving together, me and him.
What do you
think? And I'm like, this is my favorite candy. And we were at some like truck stop in the middle of nowhere. And threw
he
it
was
away. Like, no, he ate it. And he goes, oh, this is good. Oh, man, that's good. I like this.
He hated it.
Hey, that wasn't a bad Dave impression. I'm actually kind of proud of that.
That's good. Well, your voice is very raspy and almost gone. Exactly. You sound just like him.
Easy on the voice. Easy.
A new survey found the different gross things that people do. Oh, yeah. 93% pick their noses. That's me.
Oh, dude.
I'm all up in there. While
driving.
Love it.
While driving.
68% like the smell of their own gas.
Yeah. Oh,
not
you're
me.
Gross.
You're gross. 16% don't change their underwear on a daily basis.
Man, what?
That's disgusting.
That is. Gosh, I bring a change of underwear when I go to the gym.
Dude.
Gross.
You guys wear underwear at the gym?
Okay.
You need to leave, man.
That's what that,
that
is.
That just, wow.
You're
that's
gross.
That is. Thankful you don't come back to work after the gym.
Just kidding.
10% fewer people will be handing out candy to trick-or-treaters this year.
I'm one of those.
On your way home from work tonight, pop into a store, get some candy, make a bunch of kids happy tonight. A few decades ago, adults paid you that simple courtesy, so why shouldn't you? According to a new survey, 10% fewer people are planning on handing out candy to trick-or-treaters tonight than last year. Last year, 78% of people said they handed out candy. This year, only 68% say they'll do it. It's probably the clown thing.
Yeah. The purge tonight.
No, gosh.
I'm not doing that because we're taking our kids out. So we'll be going out.
Careful.
But a finger.
Okay.
Bring silly string.
But
they hate silly string.
But. 23% of people who aren't passing out candy are going to pass out something else like pennies, stickers, small toys. Why would you pass out pennies?
Yeah, that's messed up, man.
What if a kid eats it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's stupid. Oh, we talk about the gym a lot. Let's move on to this. Here are three of the biggest mistakes personal trainers say they see at the gym.
Come on, push it! Push it!
Leaning on the handlebars when you use a treadmill or a bike. You're supposed to be using your arms.
Oh, that makes sense.
Not taking deep enough breaths. You gotta breathe.
See, that's my
problem. Breathe. And only working out the muscles you see in the mirror. You can't see your back. What are you going
to
do about it?
For many years, when I'd go to the gym, it was bench press, curls, shoulders.
And this thing, the pulling it down thing.
That was basically, I never did really legs because I'm like, my legs are big enough. I don't really need to focus on them.
I've got haunches.
Yeah, so I'm just going to do those three or four things and I'm fine.
That's one thing I truly enjoy about CrossFit is that it's an entire
body.
And when you're sore, your whole body's sore.
Yeah.
I'm still sore from last week.
I think I'm getting to the point where I kind of enjoy being sore now because it doesn't.
It's a good sore.
It's a good sore. It's not like when you first start working out and you can barely move.
It's a debilitating
sore.
Oh,
I'm sore. I actually worked these muscles.
Yeah. It's a good thing. It means you're doing well. We have some random facts about Halloween.
And now it's time for
random facts.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Let's do it. 53% of parents with kids under 10 say their kid would rather get cash than candy on Halloween.
Well yeah.
I mean,
but this isn't pennies. This is like dollar bills, y'all. Dollar bills.
Wait, like the cent, like the 1 cent coin is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh.
What do you think I was saying?
Nothing.
Do you think I was saying panties?
What?
Weirdo.
Mississippi accent.
Panties.
Panties.
I think they sound different.
Panties.
They
panties.
To me, in my mind, they sound
panties.
Oh, man. The word boo originated in Scotland in the 1700s. And was defined as, quote, a word that's used to frighten crying children.
Huh.
Boo.
Boo.
Illinois produces the most pumpkins of any state in the U.S. by far.
No way.
The rest of the top five, California, Ohio, Michigan, New York.
I'll never forget when I found out that they actually, they ship out pumpkins to the pumpkin patches. I was so bummed.
Wait.
I know.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. They grow pumpkins at the pumpkin patch, but not as many.
Oh, man. Stop. Stop. You're
there.
Ruining everything.
I know. There's truckloads in the middle of the night when the kids are sleepy.
Oh.
Workers have truckloads of pumpkins that they deliver to the pumpkin patch.
You just broke my childhood.
See, the pumpkin patch in Mississippi that was about 10 miles from my house, maybe 5 miles. It took us 10 minutes to get there. It was not like that. They received no shipment. It was you walked out there and you pulled it off of the vine.
Wow, and once they were gone, they were gone.
And they were gone, gone. It was for real.
I think that's cool.
And then they started having them at other places like Walmart and Kmart and whatnot, so we quit going to the pumpkin patch because it was just easier. Because, I mean, we were out there and you had to, like, get the pumpkin.
Hmm.
But it was fun.
So bummed we didn't get to go to the pumpkin patch.
Pumpkin pie is America's second favorite pie behind apple. The rest of the top five, pecan, banana cream, cherry.
I get down with all of them.
This has been today's edition of...
1, 2, 3, 4!
Random facts.
Okay, well, let's go to break.
Break.
Big show
break.
Today.
Break.
Neil Brown Jr. is going to be on the show at 7:30. He's going to be on Dirk Gently on BBC America. He's on a show called Sandcastle, which just got picked up by Netflix. Neil Brown Jr., 7:30. We have Brian Nixon coming in around 7:45 to talk about ghosts on this Halloween. Some group therapy this morning. There's a husband that needs our help. Good morning. We'll be right back.
The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Teo.
Good morning, Starmie. Dex, Steve-O, and Teo. 7-Eleven.
High today of 77 degrees.
Take a look at the roads. Not seeing any accidents popping up right now. But you guys be really careful. Not your luck at traffic.
What was
that?
Stop, dude.
Spooky outside.
I'm not allowed to scream.
No, I'm sorry. Welcome to the program, everybody. It's Monday morning, Halloween. Be safe tonight. Coming up at 7:30 this morning, Neil Brown Jr. Mm. He's been in quite a few things.
He was in Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk to him. He's got a show on Netflix. He's got Dirk Gently on BBC America.
That's going to be fun to talk about. That was all over New York.
It was. That was everywhere. Hey, I got to take one more quick look at traffic because the accident just popped up.
You go, boy.
The shoulders blocked at I-40 East and 4th Street. So that's probably going to be messy. That's your look at traffic. disguise it with the screams. The stabs and the screams.
Sorry, man.
Gosh.
It's a Halloween thing.
585 Live, you can text us. You know, a few of you needing some help, some advice, you know.
Nice.
We're always here for you, whether it's on or off the air. If we don't get back to you right away, give us some time. And, yeah, if you feel like you're alone, you're not. Mm. Just remember that. You're not.
You're not alone.
I will leave tonight.
What? You will eat tonight? Is that what you said?
Leave tonight.
That was... No.
I'm pretty sure I heard eat.
Halloween.
Ah!
Did you guys know no one was ever poisoned from Halloween candy?
What?
It's just a myth?
No. No, come on. Really?
Mm-hmm. Of course there's been poisonings.
Yeah. it was once believed that cats protected the powers of witches.
Yep.
Which is why they are associated with Halloween.
I learned that on my special I watched last night. Would you like a little more elaboration about it?
You know what? Hey, you go, boy.
So check it out.
Why am I keep saying that? It's the second time I've said that.
It's like the 90s with you. Hey, you go, boy. Hey, no, you go, boy. So witches, they kind of, in medieval times, they kind of, you know, flared up. A lot of this was influenced by the church because they were like, hey, watch out for people doing evil things. Because you remember back then, like, there wasn't a lot of understanding as to why things happened the way they happened. And thankfully now, we know that if there's like a really bad thunderstorm, it's not because Jim Bob went out there and sinned, you know? And we also know that it's not because there's a witch out in the woods casting spells against the village, which was a common thought in medieval, up to colonial times, you know? And so it makes sense why people would be like, okay, we gotta find these people, and we gotta get rid of them, because they're making bad, they're casting spells on the village.
Right.
And so the witch, where it typically comes from, is you would have these ladies, you know, they'd be widows, they'd be old healer ladies that would kind of like do the more natural, holistic forms of healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, your tummy hurts, we'll take some of this herb for your tummy or whatever. So that was the natural association with witches. And so then even more things, like they lived off by themselves. They had a cauldron, which we forget in medieval times. The cauldron was the one thing you had basically in the kitchen. You had a fire.
Yes.
And you had a cauldron over it, and that's how you cooked. But they, of course, had cauldrons. And so then it became, well, that's where they do all their spells and whatnot. And a lot of these ladies that lived alone at home would have a cat.
What?
And so cats started getting lumped into all this stuff. Black cats. But, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of people, myself included, just have cats. Because we're lonely.
Yeah.
And they also, like, even mundane kitchen items, like the broom, got lumped into all this stuff. So if you had a lady, and typical pilgrim, colonial, whatever, like a woman's hat, looks like a witch's hat, except it was more pointy.
Very large.
Very large and kind of pointy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a lady that lived off by herself and she was a bit of a homemaker, you know, and she kind of did like the natural herb thing, that was the lady that was going to be the witch.
Mm.
Especially if she had a cat. And if you saw her sweeping with her broom, you knew it.
Yeah.
You knew it. She was a witch.
Good stuff, Dale.
I watched another special on the Salem Witch Trials, and man.
That's good, right?
And I've been Halloweening
it up. You really
did
just kick it on that couch.
I had to. I couldn't do anything else. I got sick over the weekend, everybody. I used to never get sick, and I've just decided that Johnny Danger is my Achilles heel. That kid gets sick, and it doesn't matter if he's barely sick or what. He's on antibiotics right now because he had this cold that wouldn't go away. Now it's fine. He's fine now, and I'm over here on the couch. I can't move.
Well, it is Halloween tonight, so we would definitely like to do some public service announcements.
Hi, Fire Chief Dave Williams here with some Halloween safety tips for your home. Of course, check your smoke detector's batteries. Also, keep an extinguisher handy. But the best way to keep your property from going up in flames this Halloween? Don't give out Whoppers. Or as I call them, chocolate-covered calluses.
Whoa.
You know the backstory on Whoppers, right? They were invented when a guy at a candy plant said, I hate kids. Yep, drop a Whopper into a trick-or-treater's bag and they'll return the favor by dropping a Molotov cocktail in your window. And while you're at it, trash the Necco Nico wafers, too. Or better yet, give them to Grandma and tell her that they're poker chips. And popcorn bowls? Yeah, let's take two things kids don't want for Halloween, wrap them in cellophane with our dirty hands and
delight in watching trick-or-treaters shred their gums.
Oh, man.
Don't even get me started on Peeps, a.k.a. medieval marshmallows, pennies, raisins, or their nauseating distant cousins, craisins. And bit of honey?
Ugh.
And as for the one guy on the block who always gives out baby teeth, stay put. Cops are on the way.
Baby teeth?
A PSA.
That was not a public service announcement.
A PSA from Dex.
From this station.
Gosh.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Be very careful.
Okay.
Very careful this Halloween. It's going to be, what's the temp tonight? Like 90?
Yeah.
It is so hot.
High of 86.
High of 77 today, guys.
Who opened the portal to hell? Seriously, because it is hot.
77.
Hey, this week is supposed to drop off.
It is going to drop off.
Really?
Uh-huh. It's finally going to start acting like winter.
Gosh, it's been so hot.
I'm going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sweating right now.
I believe.
Thinking about it. It's crazy, man. Let's talk about this guy in Tucson, Arizona. He wanted to get rid of some weeds around his property on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Apparently, he didn't have a weed eater because he decided to use a blowtorch.
Yeah, fire it up, man. Fire it up.
Didn't work out for him because an hour after he finished, he realized he could still smell smoke and his house was on fire.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, the fire from the weeds got to the base of his house, spread up one of the walls into the attic, and he could see flames shooting out of an air vent on the side of his house. Firefighters managed to put it out before the entire house went up, but it sounds like he's dealing with a decent amount of damage.
Yeah.
Not clear how much it's going to cost to fix it, but he can't live there for now. So he and his two housemates are staying with relatives. Yeah. Common sense. This doesn't really exist anymore in Tucson.
Guys, we got to talk about what people used to do to celebrate Halloween, like here in the States, in the colonies.
In the colonies.
And even into the 30s and 40s.
Mm.
Seriously. Did you guys know the night before Halloween was known as Gate Night? Ugh. And it's because kids in the countryside used to run around and open the gates to the livestock. And then livestock would just go everywhere.
Man, that is messed up.
And then in cities, they would cause like hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages.
Wow.
Because they would throw rocks into windows. They would, a lot of times people had buggies back then, like, you know, like horse buggies, whatever. And they would push the buggies up on top of hay bales.
Wow.
And leave the buggies up there. They would disassemble things and then reassemble them on top of your roof. It was
what?
For real.
Sounds back. Like a this senior
is,
prank.
Think about it. Like, this is before trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And this is, in fact, why trick-or-treating came around. Because it got so bad in the 30s, and there were fires. Like, things were catching. They were lighting things on fire. It was more than just, oh, these mischievous little kids, what are they doing? No, they were like arson.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It was nuts. And so everybody got together and said, we have got to come up with an idea. And so they threw it back to this old, old Catholic tradition called souling. Has anybody ever heard of souling?
Souling?
Let me tell you what it is.
Oh, no.
Souling was a Christian practice carried out in many English towns on Halloween and Christmas. A soul cake is a small round cake which is traditionally made for All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day to commemorate the dead in the Christian tradition. So you had, this is back when purgatory, of course, like, and I know it's still around in the Catholic Church, but this is medieval times, so that was like the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so say you're a rich person. You're a rich person and a family member dies. And you're like, oh man, they're stuck in purgatory. But a way to get out of purgatory was to get prayed out. Because if enough people prayed for your soul in purgatory,
okay,
you would ascend to heaven. This is old school Catholic tradition.
Crazy.
And so say you're a rich person, you would make these soul cakes, and the poor would go around and they'd knock on your door, and for a soul cake, they would pray for your relatives.
Huh.
And so then it spread to the kids. So kids would go out on what would become Halloween night or All Hallows Eve, and they would knock on doors for a soul cake, and they would pray for your dead relative.
Wow.
So now we fast forward to the 30s. It's crazy. Kids are lighting stuff on fire. They're throwing rocks in windows. My horse-drawn carriage is on top of the hay bales. I don't know.
Yeah.
Your Model T, whatever it was. So they were like, what can we do? And they brought back trick-or-treating.
Huh.
It was like this huge community get-together thing where they said if kids go around. And they had started selling paper costumes. That started happening in the 30s. All this stuff. It's basically when somebody realized, wait a second, I can make money off this holiday.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. And then later you would see in the 50s this extend into Christmas. And Christmas became what it is today, which is the biggest commercial holiday of all time.
Were the Soul cookies sugar cookies?
No.
Did they have frosting?
They had little raisins on them. Oh. It was like a small round cake with raisins.
All right. I can get down with that.
Mm. It's pretty interesting, though, to see where trick-or-treating...
How it all evolved.
Yeah. So at the height of the post-war baby boom, trick-or-treating reclaimed its place among other Halloween customs because it started like getting popular in the 30s, but then World War II hit, and everything changed with World War II, and the focus was really just on getting through World War II. But then it came back. No longer constrained by sugar rationing, which happened during the war, candy companies capitalized on the lucrative ritual, launching national advertising campaigns specifically aimed at Halloween. Today, Americans spend an estimated $6 billion annually on Halloween, making it the nation's second largest commercial holiday.
Gosh. Good stuff. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Neil Brown Jr. will be on the show. Also, Brian Nixon is going to be joining us to talk about ghosts. We'll be right back.
Attention, station employees. The coffee maker in the break room is haunted. I repeat, the coffee maker in the break room is...
What's going on in the news today?
World Series Game 5.
Democratic and Republican lawmakers are calling on FBI Director James Comey to release more information about emails potentially tied to Hillary Clinton.
Speaking Sunday on ABC's This Week, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Robert Goodlatte, said he had spoken to Comey on Saturday and asked him to release more information as soon as possible.
I think that he is very conscious of the controversy that has existed in the FBI and in the Justice Department.
The emails were discovered as part of an investigation into former Congressman Anthony Weiner.
Italy struck with another earthquake.
The quake was the strongest in nearly 36 years.
More than 100 people on an American Airlines flight from Los Angeles to Toronto are safe after the plane was diverted to Denver.
Halloween weekend helped give Boo, Madea, Halloween some staying power.
Children today, you got to drop the hammer on them.
What's the worst that can happen to her? How you think I met your mama?
Almost 17 million more in tickets this weekend, followed by Inferno, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, The Accountant, and Ouija.
Boo! Number one again?
Boo!
Just wait. Friday, nothing else will matter.
It's true.
Uh-huh.
It's going to get a little bit stranger on Friday.
Yeah. 729, good morning.
High today of 77 degrees.
Traffic! A few accidents to report now. Unser at Southern at Cabazon. There is an accident. I believe one of the lanes is blocked. Liveline says to keep it. Unser southbound just before Cabazon Road in Rio Rancho down to one lane. Stay in the right lane. Thanks to the Liveline for that one. Also, a disabled truck, I-40 East at the Big Eye. Another accident. The shoulders blocked I-40 East at 4th Street. And we had somebody say something was going on at Central and University. Yeah, an accident, Central and University. Lots of accidents already this morning. Make your Monday great by not having one. Venture look at traffic.
Traffic!
Coming up here any second, Neil Brown Jr.
Woo-hoo.
He's been in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, he was Guillermo.
Guillermo.
He was the head of the Vatos in season 2. Remember that?
Yeah.
The gang?
Yeah, they were all tough, and then come to find out they were like taking care of old people.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He was the leader.
Yeah.
Escalator.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to them? Did we leave them behind?
I don't remember, actually.
Yeah.
It has gone a totally different direction than helping old people.
He was in... did you guys ever get into Suits?
Answer?
Suits
no,
on USA?
Man. I heard that was a good show.
Listen. What are you doing, Carl?
Walk down that lonesome road.
Yeah.
By yourself.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Love
that's
Carl.
Nice. That's a great song.
So
I heard that for the first time. I didn't realize that what's his name? The guitar player that wrote jeez, it's too early in the morning for me. I answer the phone singing.
Come on, Carl.
I wish you would have
Carl, I love you, man. Seriously.
I love you, Steve-O.
Oh, so good. So good.
Oh, Carl?
Carl?
Sarah and I, we have a phone relationship, and we have an in-person relationship, because I met these dudes.
Yeah, you did.
These guys from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Dex,
except I didn't meet Dex.
I know.
You didn't meet Dex.
What's up,
he's lame.
You got to come out to New York eventually.
I will. I will.
Yes, yes.
You guys, you better take it over, Neil.
All right, there
take
you go.
Hello, Neil. Welcome to Albuquerque.
Hey, thank you for having me, man.
Oh, it's great to have you on Halloween. And any plans today? Are you going to be trick-or-treating or hanging out with?
Work. I'm going to be studying and working. I'm not going out there in that mess.
Yeah.
I'm in South Carolina right now. So,
you have creepy clowns to watch out for.
Yeah, say it again.
I said, you have creepy clowns to watch out for.
Yeah, it's a lot of creepy stuff out there.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of creepy, we got to talk about this. You are on a brand new show. Tao and I were out in New York for New York Comic Con, and Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency was everywhere. I mean, it was amazing. You can walk 3 feet without seeing something. And so we got really excited because Douglas Adams, obviously, well known for writing Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and us being nerds, Max Landis, who actually wrote a lot for the television series. Tell us a little bit about this brand new show.
Man, it's a kooky show. It is definitely in the spirit of a Douglas Adams novel, although it's not a direct adaptation of the material, the source material. It is it's definitely weird, and it's all interconnected. And I think Sam makes it is a different incarnation of Dirk than previous ones. I love his Dirk. He's a bit posh, a bit annoying. Knowledgeable but not knowledgeable at the same time, and he and Elijah work so well together. The show's about relationships, right? So you'll notice that everybody's kind of paired off throughout the show, and somehow it all comes together in this beautiful medley of weirdness.
Right.
In this case, it's a lot of fun. I dig it.
Word. Dude, I want to go back in time because there are a lot of people that listen that are always wanting to know how to get their break, how to break in. As a Christian, I don't believe in coincidence. And you have a really, really interesting story because you were actually like this gifted karate kid, if you will. And you weren't even necessarily looking at the time, were you, for an acting gig when you got your like break into to television?
No, I was not. That was not my goal. I was going to the military. I was my plan was to go to West Point and get out and be career military.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to do.
Man, so tell us how it changed. That it's great. Tell us how that changed.
I was just training for the AAU, but I had just won this ISKA youth championship for the JKA, Japanese Karate Association, as well. I did Muay Thai and karate and boxing. I grew up boxing because my uncle fought Muhammad Ali in an exhibition, and he was an army fighter. And I'm a Marine brat, so I came up like that. Plus, I was a smaller kid, so my dad wanted to make me kind of handy. I was training. They came in. My coach at the time, my sensei at the time, wanted me to do this kick. I used to do this Van Damme propeller kick. But everybody used to try to do it, including, shout out to Donna Dragon Wilson, but he always did it and it looked ugly. I'm sorry. It just wasn't right. You have to get enough elevation. You have to get that split all the way.
Yep.
And people, I could just do it on the drop of a hat because I had hops. He told me to do it. I thought it was a trick. I did it over this guy's head. They brought me in. Apparently, that was just an opportunity to audition. And then they gave me some lines. I thought I was just going to be the only kid there, but then it was like 20 other kids. And we were doing all this martial arts. And then they gave me some lines. And I have a pretty photographic memory. So I just looked at them once and then did it. And they were like, oh, my God. Well, they sent everybody away. And then they said, hold back, Neil. They pulled me back and they said, you got the part.
Wow. That's cool. That's awesome.
I was just going to do it. But once I got on set and I said words that were on the page, I was just hooked. That was it. That was it for me. I was locked in. I was like, okay, no, this is what I want to do. Mm. I could go get shot at or pretend to.
Right.
Which one?
Yeah.
Better.
Gosh, amazing.
We're talking with Neil Brown Jr. Talk a little bit about Sandcastle, because did that get picked up by Netflix?
Yeah. They've been in negotiations for a while for it. They've got a 2017 release. It's got a great cast. Glenn Powell, Bo Knapp, Nick Holt, Henry Cavill, and all those guys. We've got some really, really great talent. It's actually was on the blacklist for a while. It's a true story. It's based on a true story. The writer, Chris Rossner, that was his experience in Iraq when he was in the Army. And it's just about a group of civil affairs special forces team that had to go protect a water source that had been destroyed by the military, coming in to take out Saddam. And they go to protect it, and it should have been simple, but it doesn't. It gets really complicated really quickly. It's a show about that. It's Nick Holt's character. It's his story, but it's a very much an ensemble, and it's about the human spirit, man. These kids, they didn't have any special type of courage, so to speak. They weren't like Superman. They weren't robots. They were scared, but they did what they had to do in spite of, which is courage.
Wow.
Is it ironic that you said they weren't Superman, but Henry Cavill is the captain, and he really is Superman?
Yeah, exactly. I thought about that since it came out of my mouth. I was like, wait a minute, Superman. Well, when I got there and they cast me, I was like, hold on, pause. Wait a minute, pause. Okay, so you got Nick Holt, who's Beast.
Yep.
You got Henry, who's Superman.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Glenn Powell, he had just done what's that movie with Stallone, the Expendables?
Oh yeah.
Well, you got all these superheroes and Superman. Who am I? DJ Yella.
Yes,
DJ Yella.
Somebody's got to keep the party going. So, the cast looks amazing for this one. I can't wait for this series. It looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So, yes,
great. Thank you, Neil, for talking to us.
Yeah, man.
Looking forward to your these projects, man, that you got going on. So,
thank you.
All right,
man.
All right, man. Have a great day.
All right,
later.
Buddy.
All right, brother. Cheers.
Neil Brown Jr.
Cheers. Dude, Sandcastle looks awesome.
Yeah, it does look really cool.
Set during the occupation of Iraq, it's a squad of U.S. soldiers trying to protect a small village. But yeah, Henry Cavill, he mentioned Nick Holt, who plays Beast. He didn't mention Tommy Flanagan from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, Tommy Flanagan.
Oh, Tommy. He played Chibs. Anybody?
Yeah, Chibs.
I know Chibs.
Okay.
I was thinking about Sons of Anarchy yesterday because of Pacific Rim.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that show.
Where did Brian go?
He had to step. He asked me. He said, "Do we have a few minutes?" And I said, "Oh, okay." Yes. And so he had to pop out.
I almost announced him. I thought he was still in here.
That's hilarious. Gosh, that would have been fantastic.
Like, it was a ghost.
Brian's going to be joining us here in just a minute.
Going to talk.
It's Halloween. I thought we'd talk ghosts. You don't know how many times I've gotten this question so many times, especially at the last station I worked at, about spirits. When you die,
spirits.
Does your spirit get trapped here on Earth? What is a ghost? Is that a demon? Is it a good thing, a bad thing? You know, I especially my Catholic friends, they seem to...
There's no X in especially.
Especially. They seem to lean more towards, a spirit being trapped here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's...
Or in purgatory.
Sure, or purgatory, whatever.
We're going to talk about that.
Purgatory could be here on Earth, right? It could be in between Earth
and
hell.
Belinda Carlisle said that heaven is a place on Earth.
What else did Belinda say, Steve-O? Since you got the expert opinion, let's hear it.
Ooh, baby.
Yes, dude. Literally earwormed you without having to sing a single note.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Here he comes.
You're not allowed. You're not allowed to sing, Steve-O.
Here he comes, everybody.
Place
here he comes.
Joining us right now in the studio, his name is Brian Belinda Nixon. Carlisle. No, oh. Brian Nixon,
Brian
everybody.
Nixon. Close.
Did you guys have Belinda Carlisle on?
No. Every day.
Mm-hmm. No, we did not.
Yep. Because I must admit,
it was
back in the 80s, Belinda Carlisle and the Go-Go's.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I had a crush on Belinda Carlisle, but I always thought, you know,
there was something special.
She was, you know, yeah. She was really, I didn't really particularly like the Go-Go's, but mm-hmm. I like Belinda.
I love how we got here.
The Go-Go's had some punk roots.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's Halloween, Brian.
It is, and that's why we're here to talk this morning.
I seriously thought that was Madonna.
Life is a mystery.
Hey, voice. Sorry.
Use your inside voice, Steve-O.
I'm sorry.
So we had you on last week to talk about Halloween.
Yes.
And so if you missed that, you guys hit the podcast. But today, I thought we'd focus on ghosts.
Yes.
Demons, spirits.
Yes, you know, you're bringing up a very, very important topic because this time of year, more than any other time probably, people talk about the reality of ghosts. And are ghosts real? And are there uninhabited, you know, souls walking this earth? And let me just say categorically that I don't believe in ghosts. Go ahead and shut that off. Really.
Okay. What?
Yes, that's true. Kate could bring it back up. I don't believe in ghosts.
I like that. Doing his own production.
Yeah,
Has and so there is one intriguing section of scripture, however, that does cause a little bit of ghoulish.
Okay.
You know,
I like that.
Controversy.
Are we talking about Saul? Or are we talking
That's exactly
about...
right.
Yes, dude.
And so 1 Samuel 28. We call it the Witch of Endor. Yes.
Which we all know.
And the Witch of Endor.
Endor is a crazy planet. There's a forest moon. that was where a base was held.
Oh, boy.
If the rebellion hadn't gotten in there.
Stop it. So let's just, for our listeners. So Saul, I'm just paraphrasing the scripture here. Saul takes two servants. He disguises himself and goes to see a medium. And this medium is the Witch of Endor. And essentially, she doesn't know who he is. And he asks to bring up the spirit of Samuel, the prophet, back from, you know, the dead, if you will. And the reason why Saul wanted this is because he wanted to know the outcome of this battle they were in the midst of. So interestingly enough, this Witch of Endor, hesitates by reminding him of, you know, wow, what we're doing is really not supposed to be doing this. So they proceed to do it anyway, and lo and behold, Samuel's spirit shows up. And the medium's response is interesting in that she's shocked, she shrieks, and they recognize this spirit as, you know, Samuel. Mm. And at this point, Saul, hears from Samuel, and Samuel speaks. He tells the king what he already knows, that God has judged him for his disobedience and has given the kingdom to another. And so what happens is the dead Samuel leaves, and the next day Israel's defeated, and Saul and his sons are slain. So, I bring that up, and I go to the lengths to kind of give an overview of it, because it is the only place in all of Scripture where we find what appears to be a medium mm-hmm. conjuring up a spirit. And that is the other place. So, when I started, Steve-O and Mateo...
Mm-hmm.
about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's this idea that though I don't believe in ghosts, as a general rule, there is this one section of scripture that is intriguing. Now, my answer to this question is pretty straightforward. And it goes something like this.
Talk to me.
That God allowed Samuel to come back. Mm. Not that the medium had the power to raise, but God allowed Samuel basically like this. Okay, you want to play these games? You want to do, you want to go see a medium? You want to go see a witch?
Yeah.
And do this? And why I say this is because of the witch's response. How did she respond? She
responded. I'll get you, exactly. My pretty.
No, no, no,
I don't remember.
No.
I don't have my Bible.
I gave you the summary. She was shocked.
She was scared.
She was shocked. She was like
that
going,
didn't work.
Right, she was shocked. That, this isn't supposed to work, you know, this type of thing. So what it tells me is that God used the situation in this particular instance to allow Samuel to come back and bring judgment on Saul. Beep. This king that was thinking he's doing what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. So the thing, Dex, is that I don't believe in uninhabited souls roaming the earth. And here's the reason why. Is because that means that when a person dies, they either don't go to be with the Lord in paradise, or they're apart from the Lord, what we call hell. So it's this kind of idea, it gives into this idea that ghosts can, you know, be somewhere else than what the Bible says they are to be. So the question then, what are these, you know, things that people claim to see in other, you know? Yeah. Well, if people are really seeing something, it would have to be, to me, demons.
Okay. Dex.
Yes.
Oof. You just scared. So wait. So Patrick Swayze was actually just a demon?
Well, if we were to have to look at this on biblically,
yeah.
I mean, what else could there be?
I mean, Whoopi Goldberg maybe, but yeah. Patrick Swayze?
Yeah. You know, but we're talking about Hollywood, and then there's the reality, mm-hmm. And so you know I. That would be the only, I think, plausible biblical explanation of what people are claiming to see. Now, I'm of the mindset that 99% of what people claim to see are not really what they think they're seeing.
Right.
I think it's their mind, their imagination, they're conjuring up what they think they should see, and so they see it. But there is that 1% or lower than 1% that, you know... Obviously, as Christians, we believe in the supernatural world. We believe both in angels and in demons. Mm-hmm. So, you know, could there be some sort of demonic activity that takes on a physical manifestation? I think the answer is very plausible. Though I think the vast majority of what people claim to see, these ghost hunters, all these things that we see on television, just are fabrications.
Yeah. Okay, but I remember one time I was snowboarding and I wrecked. And I was like laying there in the snow, and then all of a sudden I was getting dragged, and I end up in this cave, and I had to use a force to get my feet out of the ice and escape this giant creature. And I was roaming around forever. I believe this was Durango.
Has he taken his medication today? No.
I'm laying in the snow, and all of a sudden I hear,
Steve-o. Steve-o.
And I'm like, what is it? And I look up, and it was like, Ben? And he was like, you must go to Dagobah, Steve-o. There you will be trained by... Was that just a demon then?
Was it John Lee?
That was because you hit your head too hard on the route in Purgatory. Purgatory Durango. Durango, you know.
You've got to come to Devil's Stage.
That's it. I was in Purgatory.
You were in Purgatory.
I forgot.
Exactly.
Durango is Purgatory.
Durango ski lift
is
purgatory.
Changing everything about Star
Wars. I
remember
the other day, I thought I witnessed a ghost running down the street, like gliding mystically and crazy. It scared the mess out of me. And then I realized it was actually just Grand Peachy. She had gotten loose.
Grand Peachy
she
got
was loose on the tarmac.
Come on, man.
Oh,
yeah, it was
boy.
Pretty nuts. You got to watch out for her.
Grand Peachy. Wow.
Really hoping for a sound bite. It didn't happen.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, Dex, did that answer your question? I mean,
it did.
You know, I think obviously this time of year there's a lot of emphasis, a lot of scary things, and it's not so much what's scary that once something dies, it's what's scary is really what's still left on the earth.
Mm.
Yes.
And though, you know, we talked about, you know, last week can, you know, families celebrate Halloween, and you know, my advice was, hey, if this is something that it's harmless and they're dressing up like the princess from Frozen and you're doing it from the cultural context of American, you know, you're not worshiping, you know, evil or anything of that nature. It really is just a harmless holiday in that context. What's interesting, though, in the context of adults doing it, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not so much that they believe that they're you know, worshiping, you know, demons or anything else. But really, Halloween has turned into a party night. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, you know, adults who are doing this need to check their heart, particularly Christians who are doing this. What is my motivation? Is my motivation to go get slammed, to hook up with someone, to dress like a little, you know, French maid, and, you know, but all this type of stuff? We really just have to say, now, wait a minute, what is our motivation for doing this? If it's our 5-10-year-old kid who wants to do it, that's one thing. But if it's us who want to look like someone that we shouldn't be looking like, in the sense of,
are you know, telling me that I can't wear my costume?
Okay.
My costume is Sexy Blanket.
Sexy Blanket?
Well, yeah, Sexy Blanket. From, it's a classic.
Is that would that be Blanket from Brave Little Toaster?
No, that's offensive. Sexy Blanket.
Yeah. No, if you're out with your kids and you're doing it and you're just having fun and you're dressing Sexy Blanket, so be it. But
I should have gone with Sexy Grocery Bag.
To say Sexy Blanket, which is weird.
If you're going out tonight and it's all about, you know, and again, I'm speaking to Christians here.
Yeah, man.
And if you go out tonight and the whole, you know, motive is to look hot, to get drunk, and to do things you shouldn't be doing, then I would say, you know what? You need to stop and check your heart.
Because, leave it behind.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, exactly. So so that's just my take on Halloween.
Real quick, on the live line, somebody chimed in and asked, what is your take on familiar spirit? Like, what is a familiar spirit?
The context of the scripture is, you know, I think if what he's referring to is a Pauline thing of a familiar spirit. And again, when we're talking supernatural here,
yeah,
we really just, and I'm stepping back, we're just the big picture. Mm-hmm. There are angels. Mm-hmm. Yep. And those angels have different classes. We think biblically the highest would be like an archangel, which would be like Michael or Gabriel. Some people think that Lucifer was an archangel. He was a fallen. And again, there isn't biblical reference for this. There's a lot of reading between the lines. Mm. So people would say that Gabriel and Michael were the archangels that were essentially the right-hand men for the Father and the Spirit. And Lucifer was the archangel for the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Ran the choir.
And that he fell.
Right.
And he wanted to basically compete because, knowing what was going to transpire, he's going to foil this and everything else of that nature. So we would say biblically there are angels. Now, of those angelic spiritual beings, some of them fell, and we call those demons. And of course, Lucifer is the king of the demons. He's the one that
the Prince of Darkness.
Exactly, the Prince of Darkness. He's the one that led the rebellion, to use Steve-O's Star Wars terminology.
Beautiful. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You cannot say that Satan led the rebellion, because the rebellion was the good guys in Star Wars.
Hey,
the
rebellion is a good guy.
Little
in
band
the
of rebels. Okay.
That would make God Emperor Palpatine, and that just doesn't fly with me, dog.
So my Star Wars analogies completely fell
it
flat.
Is hosed,
it
man.
Shows you that I'm not a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so when we look at the familiar spirits, or you know, the wrong spirits, it's these things that you would either have to say those that are good would be the angels, those angels that watch over us, those angels that are protecting, and we find that throughout scripture. Let's say those angels that were at the tomb when Jesus, you know, rose, or those angels that declared his birth, those angels we would have to say are those good angels that are the Lord is familiar with, those who are commissioned by the Lord. The angels, or the demons that we would call the fallen angels, are those that are not doing the will of God. They are following a whole different set of orders.
Mm. Beautiful.
We also got another question on the live line that's completely, you know, in line with our discussion, that says, ask Brian when God killed the Leviathan.
Okay.
So when God killed the Leviathan, so oh boy, so do you want me to,
it says,
to do this
in Job,
one?
God describes how he created that creature, and then in Psalms talks about him cutting it off its head. I just want to know, when did he kill it?
Should I answer this? I mean, it's completely off topic.
This is the second or third time this person's asked this.
So the behemoth and Leviathan are two creatures in Job that many commentators believe that these two large creatures are.
Talk to me.
Yeah, that these two large creatures were what we would call dinosaurs.
Mm. Okay.
And their descriptions of them are dinosaur-like. They describe them as large tails like
long
a trunk,
necks.
Long necks, and all
tiny
of these type
arms.
Of things.
T-Rex.
And so you would have to say, from a general description in Job, that Job did live with some sort of dinosaur-like creature. So if this is the case, and by the way, this isn't so strange because we live with dinosaur-like creatures today. We call them crocodiles. We call them
rhinoceros.
We live with ancient creatures that have you know, obviously survived the flood and everything. So the question would be, and I think maybe what this caller's getting at, is where did the dinosaurs, or how did the dinosaurs die off? And I would say the most plausible biblical explanation is the dinosaurs died off as a general species during the flood.
Okay.
But some survived.
Yeah.
I mean, in the sense, like, we have alligators, we have crocodiles, we have some ancient creatures that are still with us today. But the ones described in Job, I think, died off in a flood-like event or a post-flood event, unless you believe in Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster.
Nessie's still there, man.
Unless you believe in Nessie.
Wait. You still didn't answer the question. The question was, when did God cut its head off?
He said whenever the dinosaurs died. That's when. We don't know exactly.
So it was like a metaphor?
Yeah.
It was like a meta. It wasn't like really like God came down with a giant sword.
No.
Wouldn't you think, though, with the dinosaurs, you know, of course the flood could have wiped most of them out, but don't you think people probably made them go extinct?
Oh, yeah. Unquestionably.
Because of global warming.
Yeah. I do believe that... first of all, and I know it sounds strange to a lot of people, but I do think that man and dinosaurs at some point in history did live together. I think there's evidence for that. Not only do we find footprints along, you know, where there's dinosaurs. I mean, you know, these were ancient in, you know, people, but there were, you know, what we'll call primates. Primates and did, just like primates lived with saber-toothed tigers and woolly mammoths and other organisms, animals that have since went extinct. So I do believe that there was a point, there was this cross juncture.
Dude, people are like blowing up the live line with questions, but we got to go to a break.
Oh,
darn
man.
It, because this is a
Hold
really
on,
good
just
one.
Just keep going, and then maybe
so,
I can do
so
something
illegal. I do think that that people did have something to do with some ancient animals' extinction, just like we do today. You know, we killed off, plausibly, the woolly mammoths. We killed off the saber-toothed tigers. I mean, generally speaking, there could have been droughts and other things, what we would call a confluence of factors that brought all these things to extinction. But the reality is that I think humans did, particularly in the more recent history, give a lot of weight towards extinction of some animals.
Pastor Brian Nixon hanging out with us. What time do you have to leave, Brian?
Well, if there's more questions and you guys want me in here,
of course.
I'll do
okay, cool.
We
want
yeah.
you to coming stay. Back, we got a question about hell.
We're not going to take a break.
Oh, we're not?
We're going to take a 13-second break.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
I got to play this legal real quick.
Okay,
so,
do it.
Hold on
yeah.
a second.
On the air and in your face.
But lovingly so.
This is Star 88 at 88.3 FM.
We're still on the air.
KLYT.
Still on the air.
Albuquerque, Santa Fe.
Pause
and
pause
online
it 10 seconds
at star88.fm.
Yeah, there you go.
All right,
yeah,
I was just apologizing. Obviously, there's lots of questions. I was apologizing. I didn't mean to hijack your show.
No, this is Halloween, man.
You invite me in to answer a question about demons,
Halloween.
and then it gets way off topic.
This is what we want.
Okay.
We want you here.
Okay, if people go to hell when they die, why does the Bible state that people are sent to hell during the Great White Throne Judgment, which hasn't happened yet?
Good question.
Well, because hell is essentially, the larger definition of hell is separation from God.
Right.
So those people who die and are not Christians now and they go, they're separated from God, just like those individuals who die right now and go what we would call heaven, but theoretically would be more akin to paradise, because in Revelation 20 and 21, we get a sense of the new heaven and new earth. Mm. So heaven, biblically speaking, is part of what God's original plan was for earth, and there's a physicality to earth. It's not just some disenchanted, you know, floating off in space type thing. We are actually attached to our physical bodies. So those people that go to hell now, if you will, it's the same. They're separated from God. Now, the million-dollar question for something of that nature is, where is hell? And that question...
Center of the earth.
Okay, shut
yeah, that question is open for debate. A lot of people do see it as kind of like a holding compartment. They see it as like a part where there's a separation, where God, though he's omnipresent, he's present everywhere, he chooses not to be there. So that is the question, is, okay, where is this place? What we do know, though, in Revelation, that all the demons, Lucifer himself and all the demons, are thrown into this pit, this outer darkness. And it's there that they're eternally separated from God. So I would say that this place that we would call hell, wherever it may be, this what Revelation describes, what John in Revelation describes as the outer darkness, this pit, is probably where people go. And where that is, we don't know.
Man. Dun, 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 dun. Good question, guys. Dun, dun, dun. Great question.
That is a great question. And obviously, concerning Halloween, it kind of has a tie-in there. So that one did.
I have a question on the live line. It's from me. It says, am I a vampire? Okay. I am hundreds of years old. I have lots of knowledge. And sometimes like to feast on the blood of animals. Am I a vampire?
No, because vampires specifically are individuals that can live long and they have this supernatural ability, and you are not. So if you are feeding on people's blood...
It's an animal.
We're talking about
I'm an animalitarian.
Oh my gosh.
So you're talking like bats. You're saying, are you?
I don't like bats. I was saying it's more like just horses and cows. Common livestock. Bats are too hard to catch.
Gosh.
I need to know for my taxes. Do you know how hard it is to register?
I would like to get serious for a second if I could.
What? I thought that was a real question.
I a vampire is a real question.
Okay. No.
The other reason why I wanted Brian here is because I know he's a goth.
He's a goth.
I did listen to goth.
Lights just went out when you said that.
Man, they did.
He's a goth.
I did like goth music growing up. Yes, I did.
I'm a Visigoth.
Do you like haunted houses? Because you know a lot of people put on their own haunted houses during Halloween. Have you ever been into a haunted house?
And here's crazy. I've only been into the Disney haunted house. Does that even count?
Haunted Mansion is fun.
It's the best ride in that park. So yes, it does count.
Yeah, so that's the only one I've been to. I've never... Here's the thing. I've never wanted to pay to go to some haunted house because it's like, why spend $10 on that when I could spend $10 on a book?
Well, let me play something for you.
Okay.
Because I would like to invite you to a goth haunted house.
Oh. Hey, goths! It's Halloween. Yeah, we know. For you, that's every day. Which is why this year you don't want to miss the House of Terror for goths! With hundreds of rooms of sheer fright, this haunted house will leave any goth questioning their dark Victorian subculture. Start your journey beyond a room we call the corporate world, where nondescript people in plaid sit in cubicles and post kitty memes on Facebook. Then crawl through our Chamber of Cheer, where you'll be greeted with fresh-baked cookies. Luckily, you can escape into the Candy Path and run down the steps to the Rainbow Dungeon, featuring sunlight, daffodils, dancing unicorns, and most terrifying of all, a Katy Perry song on loop.
I've never been so scared. I was smothered in hugs and forced to wear a polo shirt.
It's the House of Terror for goths.
Oh, so that's so funny.
And get a discount if you show your Hot Topic card.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, everything the goth. Yeah. That's good. That
you
is funny.
You
want
to go? It's going to be great. That,
you know, what's funny is I always liked the, you know, what we'd say goth music, but I was never like into the look and into the culture. I believe it or not, I was in a goth band early on.
He was.
And everyone was looking goth. And then everyone looked at, well, now who's that guy? Is he your manager? And everyone goes, actually, he's the guy that wrote all the songs and owns all the instruments. We just allow him in because he's the guy that did all the songs. So you've got to allow him in.
Did you see my goth pumpkin I did over the weekend?
Let's see.
That's Brandon Lee from The Crow. Which, my favorite goth movie.
God rest his soul.
Yeah, dude.
Amen.
Actually,
amen.
Michael Massey, 61 years old, he just passed away. He played Fun Boy in the film. He was the one that accidentally shot him.
And you know, let's say something here. Early goth, I mean, the true architects of goth music didn't look goth at all. So Joy Division. Joy Division, they wore ties, they wore slacks. They didn't really look goth. It really wasn't until Susie and the Banshees and The Cure, you know, started the whole, what we say, goth look.
Lots of hairspray.
Lots of hairspray, big hair, white painted face, and then that whole scenario. But you listen to, like, Robert Smith's music, and it's pop. And so it's not really goth. The scary goth stuff was, like, Christian Death. And so the whole L.A. goth sound, they truly were scary.
I don't even know what you're saying anymore. Yeah. You're getting deep. I just want to listen to Disintegration today. Leave me alone.
Yeah, that's Robert Smith. That's probably the most goth album of The Cure. Yeah.
That's my fave.
Yeah, it is. It's a great album. But the point is that the goth
very
scene... the goth scene kind of splintered into different areas.
Okay.
All right, one more question here, Brian, if you have time.
Yes.
If Lucifer was thrown into hell, and that's supposed to be his eternal home, why is he allowed to leave and be able to mess with us? Why couldn't he be trapped?
Good question. And where the Bible doesn't give us clear indications, it's not wise to make, you know, definitive comments. The Bible doesn't come out and say, well, this is the reason why God did this. We don't know God's purposes and plans. What we do know is that God has an intended purpose for what he's doing and why he allows Satan and his minions to continue to harass and plague the earth with evil and such. We really don't know. But what we do know is that God knows. And that's where we put our faith. That's where we put our trust. We put our trust in what we do know. And what we do know is that the Lord loves humanity. The Lord loves people. And the Lord has a purpose and plan for those who turn their life over to him. So we say, Lord, you know, Father knows best. Our Father in heaven knows best. And so some of those philosophical and theological questions we could only guess at. And so, you know, your guess in a sense is, I think, as good as my guess. I mean, why is God allowing evil today? Well, his intended purposes aren't accomplished yet. And here's something else, folks. We have to remember that God did provide an answer to evil. A lot of people say, man, God just allows evil to run rampant. No, the Lord addressed evil. Well, how? He sent his son. Jesus Christ is God's answer. And I know that kind of sounds, you Christians always say it. Jesus is God's answer for this. And he is. There is evil in the world. The world is running amok and out of control. And God sent his only son. And that whoever so loves Jesus Christ shall be saved. And so God's answer to evil in the here and now is Jesus Christ. And consequently, his people who are to be light and salt and good and saved unto good works, to do good things, to penetrate the darkness in the world. So, folks, we are part of the solution as the church.
Beautiful. I love it.
That's good.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, guys.
Happy Halloween. We'll see you tonight at the Goth Haunted House.
Oh, yeah.
Dex, he's not going to go. He said he didn't want to go.
I know.
But, that was pretty funny, Dex. Thank you for sharing that.
You bet. All right. I guess, you know, if you ever have questions, you can hit us up. And, of course, we'll get them over to Brian or, you know.
Somebody. That guy in the skate
Brian's
park
pretty
dressed
busy
like
guy.
A clown.
He's pretty busy.
He's for real busy.
585 Live, you can text us. We're going to take a quick 2-minute break. Attaboy, Star 88. Attaboy, set sail. Morning Invasion, Star 88. Dex, Steve-O, and Tao. 813.
High today of 77 degrees.
We'll check traffic as soon as Tao gets back.
Fine.
If you have it?
I mean, I could.
It's up to you, buddy.
I really could. I don't want to steal the spotlight.
Your voice. I don't want you to strain your voice.
All right, final. Traffic! All right, it is Halloween Monday morning, and other than some road construction, not a whole lot to report. We got construction work going on Manal Boulevard between I-25 and Carlisle. And, of course, regular construction that's been planned, Alameda between Louisiana and Wyoming. No accidents to report at this time, which is a good thing. And it's pretty clear going on this Monday morning. What's your look at traffic?
Traffic!
Oh,
I should have been a traffic guy.
I probably should hit this button real quick. Hold on.
This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit, located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com, or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
He's just got such a smooth voice.
As soon as Teo gets back, we'll jump into some group therapy. We got an email this morning. Well, was it an email or a text? About the husband.
Yeah, man. Email.
Some marriage difficulties. So we'll jump into that as soon as Teo gets back.
We
don't want him to miss out on any of that. But, if you guys are ever in a bind, you guys need advice, please hit us up. It doesn't even have to be on the air. Just let us know.
Yeah.
And we'll call you off the air. We'll text you off the air. We'll put it on the air because I know sometimes you guys like to get the feedback from the Starmie,
yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Or you can go to star88.fm. We actually have a contact form there like this person did. It is completely anonymous. We don't even know how to contact this person.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Which kind of stinks. Yeah. There's a contact form at star88.fm. So you put in your name and your email address. But, I mean, for example, this email address is anonymous@notsaying.com.
Oh,
so
wow.
We actually have no way of getting a hold of this person, which kind of stinks on one hand. But if you'd like to remain completely anonymous to where even we don't know who you are, that's the best way to go about it.
I like that. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, sorry. Star88.fm. It's easy.
That's good.
You can do it.
Because I think a lot of times people do hold back because they're scared that... You know, maybe you do know one of us or...
Yeah, and you just want it to be completely anonymous. That is the way to go about it. We do have a contact form.
Yeah. And listen, the three of us here, we've gone through the ringer.
Right.
In different areas in our lives.
Yeah.
So we've maybe lived what you're going through right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how I feel. God put us here for a purpose, a reason. And if you're holding back on reaching out for help, you need to stop. Put the pride down.
Yeah.
Reach out for help. I'm the worst at that, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir because I'm the guy that likes to just lock myself up in my house and not leave, and I don't want to tell anybody what's going on in my life. And you need to find those brothers and sisters that you can reach out to. And then I think... Having us is great. Even if you've never met us before, I like the anonymous thing because then you really can just throw it our way without, you know, anybody knowing who you are. And that for me, I would rather have it that way.
So on the main page of star88.fm, there is a contact star88 button, and then also on the station information under the contact us section. That's how you can send it. And we get them regularly, and we love being able to talk about these things because maybe we don't have the answer, but a lot of times we'll be talking about something and we'll have people chiming in who've been through similar situations that can also in turn help. I'm going to read this.
Go for it. We don't have to wait for Dale.
Says, this is for the guys of the Morning Invasion. I don't know where to turn to. I need advice, but I'm too embarrassed and can't turn to my pastor as he's been recently deployed. I don't feel comfortable enough talking to any of my church leadership about this. This month, my wife and I have been married for 6 years. She's been going back to school, and this semester, she's become increasingly distant. Then about 3 weeks ago, some of what's been going on has come out. She has a male friend who is in class with her, who she says is her, quote, best friend. She texts him all the time, Snapchats photos of herself to him all the time. She's recently changed all of her passwords on her phone and her social media because she says she needs some space. We actually got a hotel for our anniversary, and the first thing she did when she woke up was Snapchat this dude. Lately, she leaves so she can get away from the commotion and the kids to do homework, but I know She's also hanging out with this guy. She started drinking more lately, started smoking. I don't know if she's cheated on me physically, but I know she has emotionally. I don't know what to do or where to turn. Some days I cry myself to sleep. Sometimes I have suicidal thoughts. Other days I just want to punch this guy in the face. Please help.
Oof.
Yeah, man.
Man, my stomach aches for you right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we got this in the 5 o'clock hour this morning, and it's been heavy on us all this morning as we've been thinking over how best to respond, praying about how to talk about on the air. And the truth is, I mean, some serious things stick out. The idea that she's, I mean, she went back to school, so some life changes there. She's got this dude in class who is her best friend. I'd be curious to know if this is a longtime friend or if literally she met him this semester and all of a sudden is like, this is my new best friend.
Yeah.
Texting him all the time, Snapchatting photos of herself to him all the time. That's obviously a red flag. Changing all of her passwords on her phone and her social media.
Red flag.
Is a huge no-no. Yeah. So that's one thing, that there can't be secrets like that in a marriage. Mm. You know what I mean? My wife has access to all of my social media, to everything at all times, period, the end, because that's just, I don't know, man. That's a dangerous place to be in, especially her saying she needs some space. So she kind of changed all her passwords and on social media as well. There's obviously no trust there. And that, to me, immediately points to there's something there that she does not want her husband to see.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Saying that you sadly can't talk to the pastor who was just deployed, but not wanting to talk to any of the church leadership about it is a hard place, because he says he doesn't feel comfortable enough talking to any of the church leadership about it, but that's what church leadership is there for. And I know he came to us, you know, anonymously to at least say something, but my immediate thought is you gotta be able to talk to somebody, because something's going on. And as much as you don't want to face it, the fact that there's one part in the email that said the wife gets away from the commotion of the kids to do homework. So they have children. There are kids involved. And we all know, we're married, we have kids, how important communication is within a marriage, but also how you want to kind of shield your children for some of those things. But a confrontation of sorts needs to take place. Your wife's obviously hiding things. She doesn't want to share her social media information with you. She's going out and potentially doing whatever with this dude, and you gotta like step up. I feel like the husband in this regard has to step up and
step up as far as going to the leadership of the church.
Yeah, maybe starting with your spouse, because it's speculative at this point. But
here's the one thing that I think people need to understand. When you're in a marriage, when you're in a relationship, is that you cannot control your partner.
Right.
So you're not responsible for her actions or his actions. And there's no way that you can just stop her from doing what she's going to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of times we can get caught up in that with, you know, maybe following them, downloading something on their phones to track them.
Whoa.
And I mean, there's things out there. I mean, you'll go, you know, to lengths to try and, you know, catch them cheating, you know.
And
this is a situation where I can understand this guy's probably freaking out. She changed her passwords on her phone. He can't access any of her social network.
Right.
And she's hanging out with a guy who she says is her best friend now.
Liveline chimed in. A few people have already, actually. And one woman chimed in saying, married women should not have male best friends. I know from experience. Yeah. I used to be one of those women. It's not a good idea, especially if it breeds lies and deception, which it sounds like is happening. California chimed in and said, absolutely punch the guy in the face, no hesitation.
Mm.
You're not wrong.
Well, there's always two sides, and who knows?
Right.
Who knows
right.
the other
well,
side?
Yeah, because here's what stinks is the wife is clearly finding something in this best friend that is not being met. There's a need that is potentially not being met within the marriage. So she's going outside of that to find this friend, this companion. Maybe this guy's a really good listener. Maybe the communication is shot in the household. And I mean, it kind of seems that way in a sense, considering just from the email, it's like, I don't know where to turn to. I got no leadership at our church that I trust or that I can talk to. My pastor's gone. You know, he's frustrated, so he's like, he wants to punch this dude in the face, but he's not really comfortable talking to anybody about it. And communication is vital in a marriage. And so that's sadly usually where it starts is, man, I found this person that's willing to listen to me. They just want to talk. They just want to be my friend. Mm-hmm. And I don't have that here. And it's not excusing or saying, oh, the wife, poor thing, she didn't have anybody to talk to, so she found this dude. It's not excusing anything. Sin is sin is sin. However, I feel like he's just got to step up, man. Talk to her. Tell her how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Because eventually, whether now or months from now, what would be horrible is for him to stifle it all when now nothing physical has happened potentially, and then 6 months from now when the wife comes back and says, hey, totally slept with this dude, I'm really sorry. Mm-hmm. But you know, and that's how it comes to light, and it's like, oh dude, take a stand. Say something now.
Yeah, make sure you say something now. And someone said cut her loose on the live line. I think if you have...
It's a marriage, dude.
But hold on. If you've tried to get her into counseling with you, if you've tried to have the talk with her, then there's... I'm not saying divorce. I'm saying you, at some point, you have to kind of put your hands up in the air and say, okay, you're going to do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to be the best father I can be. I love you as my wife, and I want to work on this marriage. But if you're going to hang out with this guy, continually hang out with this guy, then I'm going to cut you loose.
Yeah.
Not saying divorce. I'm saying I'm cutting you loose, and you need to figure out what you need to figure out.
I mean, there's so many bad habits being coupled here because she started drinking, she started smoking, she's leaving the house so she can get away from the family. She changed all of her social media. It's like, I mean, I don't even know where to be. I mean, it begins obviously with that conversation that needs to be had, but there's a lot going on there. I'd love to know how old they are as well. Mm. Yeah, there's so much we don't know, but... from what we all gather, the live line's saying just about the same thing. Mm-hmm. If that's her best friend, then how come the husband isn't the best friend as well? I know my husband's best friend very well. Maybe I don't talk to the person the way my husband does. However, I know the person, who they are. I've met them, been around them. There's something shady going on. Mm-hmm. There may be some attention that's lacking. Maybe she's trying to get the husband's attention by talking to this guy. Husband needs to fight for what he wants and what he loves for his marriage, for his bride. Thank you. Thank you, Starmie.
And we don't know. We don't know if maybe he has been fighting for it and she's not responding. We don't know. But
yeah.
if you haven't fought for it yet.
Well, it's a marriage, dude. You can't go, well, I tried. I tried to have a conversation. She wasn't having it. She changed her passwords. I don't know what to do. And it's like, no, dude. Plan B, C, D, E, F. You just keep going down the list. You keep trying. You can't relent. You can't give up. This is a marriage. You have children. Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't high school. You can't just be like, well, I think she's into this guy. I'm just going to kind of let her go. Let her sow her wild.
Yeah, but what if you have tried all those things that we told
exhausted
to
all the options?
Yeah. What do you do at that point?
I don't know, man.
See, that's the downside with this email is it sounds like we're at one certain stage with this person, but there are so many other different stages, and we don't have enough information to know exactly where everything is.
Yeah.
So hypothetically, let's just say he's gone to the pastor. Let's say he does that.
That hasn't happened. We know that hasn't happened.
Let's just say he does that. He goes to the pastors.
Uh-huh.
He tries to, follow what they're saying. He's trying to get her into counseling. She won't go. And she wants to just be with this guy.
We had a friend who was in a similar situation like this where they were believers and she just kind of was like, I'm done, I'm out. And she was unfaithful and she also walked away from the church, from the Lord entirely. And at that point, after exhausting everything, their pastor instructed him to, I mean, if she wants to leave, like, yeah, basically like spousal abandonment, she's already committed adultery. If she rolls, like, that's on her. And it was kind of like, and they got a divorce, and it was tragic. Yeah. But I would never supersede anything a pastor would tell the person. So it's like, well, hasn't talked to the pastor. If he talks to the pastor and they instruct them in whatever way, that pastor is the shepherd of that family and would know way better than I would with a stranger. So I wouldn't want to say anything.
338-3700, or you can text us at 585-LIVE. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. So my husband and I went through something similar, but it was reversed. I did text in, but I felt the need to just say that if whatever is going on with this couple, it's not past saving. It's how hard you're willing to fight for it. And that's not just on one end. It's on both ends. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's lonely. Maybe she feels inadequate. Maybe there's just a lot of things going on in her head. And maybe this person has sparked something in her that she hasn't felt in a while. But it's not right. And, you know, on his end, to not seek any kind of help from pastors or, you know, anybody that can really lead him back into, okay, you took a vow, that's a covenant, you said those words before the Lord. As much as these problems in marriage hurt, it also hurts when there's no communication, and I think that's what's lacking. You know, there's really not communication for this couple, and they need to start. Something has to start, you know. That movie Fireproof, as corny as it is, kind of opened our eyes to some of the things. Maybe we weren't doing the exact things that couple in that movie were doing, but it helped us to open our eyes of the things, to see the things that we were doing to each other and work on those things and fight for our relationship and our marriage.
Mm. Boom. Glad things worked out.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you for your story.
Thanks for chiming in.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you.
Live line's open, 585-5483. Someone said, went through almost the same exact situation earlier this year. Marriage almost ended. The only person you can work on or fix is you. Focus on you and your roles as a husband. If she leaves, that's on her, but you be faithful. You serve God. Yeah.
Dude, I love that, because the final line of that is, that's what I did, and God helped restore my marriage to a place better than it's ever been.
Somebody else's voice is rubbing off on me.
Whoa. So I know someone going through a similar situation, but she's more upset her privacy was violated. The husband looked in on her phone due to his intuition and found evidence, but she will not apologize for talking to her best friend, a dude. She's a very unapologetic person. What do you do with a woman like that who doesn't admit her mistakes? I think the previous person just nailed it. You focus on yourself. You focus on your role as a husband. And if she chooses to walk away, if she chooses to leave, as they said, you continue to be faithful. You serve God. You serve her. That's what this person did, and God restored their marriage.
Mm. So many people going through this exact same thing, you know, or have gone through it.
That's an important thing to remember, too, because we talk about a lot how isolation is just the worst. Like, isolation is the key for so many things to just seem overwhelming. And one of those big things is you think you're the only person going through that. But if this is a testament to anything, like, people are constantly texting us right now. I went through the same thing. I have a friend that went through. I went through the mob. We went through, you know. This is a very, very common thing. So if our person that emailed us, number one, is listening, you are definitely not going through this alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the advice to, well, I know they reached out to us and they can't reach out to the pastor because the pastor has been deployed or whatever, but maybe like a mentor or, you know, a person that is older than you that might have gone through something similar. To really get some wisdom there. I mean, and I always, like, I think counseling is the way to always go. And I know sometimes there's, like, a weirdness with counseling. And I think a lot of that comes because we just don't want to admit that we're either in the wrong or that we can't handle a situation.
Mm.
And sometimes the only way to open up those lines of communication, honestly, is to go get someone who professionally helps people open up those lines of communication. Because there's just such like an unwillingness to admit, you know, I can't handle this by myself.
Yeah.
But we know as Christians that, like, that's the only way to do it. Mm. That's the basis. That's one of the big foundations of our faith, is that you can't do it alone.
585 Live, you can text in. Just a quick recap, Steve-O, the email before we go to break.
Somebody chimed in, just their wife started up out of school, going back to school, met a dude who is now her best friend, texting all the time, changing her passwords on her phone, and something's going on. Just needed some advice. Live line's blowing up.
Yeah, we'll read some of those, answer some of your questions when we come back.
Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Tao.
What's going on in the news today?
World Series Game 5.
Democratic and Republican lawmakers are calling on FBI Director James Comey to release more information about emails potentially tied to Hillary Clinton.
Speaking Sunday on ABC's This Week, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Robert Goodlatte, said he had spoken to Comey on Saturday and asked him to release more information as soon as possible.
I think that he is very conscious of the controversy that has existed in the FBI and in the Justice Department.
The emails were discovered as part of an investigation into former Congressman Anthony Weiner.
Italy struck with another earthquake.
The quake was the strongest in nearly 36 years.
More than 100 people on an American Airlines flight from Los Angeles to Toronto are safe after the plane was diverted to Denver.
Halloween weekend helped give Boo, Madea, Halloween some staying power.
Children today, you got to drop the hammer on them.
What's the worst that can happen to her? How you think I met your mama?
Almost 17 million more in tickets this weekend, followed by Inferno, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, The Accountant, and Ouija.
It was getting cold in Ohio. Grade 4 had just begun. I was coloring cartoon bats, silhouetted by the setting sun.
Beautiful. Reliant K put out a Halloween album, EP.
So they recorded this on the road. They did it live during soundcheck, and then Matt Thiessen overdubbed the vocals.
Wow.
In like a studio set up in the bus. They've got Mark Lee Townsend out with them playing guitar, and he's like their producer guy. So they just put out an EP.
That's cool, man.
Love it.
The days are getting shorter and cooler.
8:40, good morning.
High today of 77 degrees. Traffic!
No accidents to report right now, but lots of road construction all around the city. So you guys be very, very careful. There's even road construction in major thoroughfares. Be on the lookout. Happy Halloween. That's your look at traffic.
Beautiful.
Did you hear that, Steve-O?
What?
When he was younger, he was Salty the Singing Songbook.
Oh, good.
For Halloween, just like...
585-5483. You can text the show, chime into the conversation, be a part of it with us. Or 338-3700. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning. Are we still chiming in on the email?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a recap, Steve-O.
Yeah, we got an email this morning from a gentleman who needs some advice. Embarrassed, doesn't know where to turn. His pastor was recently deployed, doesn't feel comfortable talking to any of the church leadership about it. But this month, him and his wife celebrated their 6th anniversary. She went back to school. She's become increasingly distant. Met a dude, male friend in class, who she now says is her best friend. They talk all the time. She recently changed her passwords on her phone, all of her social media, because she said she needs some space. And it's just going downhill from there. She started drinking more, started smoking. The husband doesn't know what to do. Needs some help, doesn't know where to turn to, and sent us an email. So,
what are your thoughts, man?
So let me give you a story. When my wife and I were engaged, I had this. It was a girl. She was my best friend. I've known her since high school. I went to her for everything, and my wife at the time put up with it. And then the girl invited me to go camping with her and a bunch of other people. We were going to go dirt biking. Well, my wife didn't agree with it, and I was too stubborn to realize the fact that it was hurting my wife. So my wife actually came down and told me that it was either me or the girl, and I had to choose. And so I sat there and realized that, you know, if you have the opposite sex as your best friend, it's not good. So now the only best friends that I have that are females are my wife's best friends. And same thing with my wife. The only friends that she has that are boys' best friends are my best friends. So, I mean, all in all, it's, you know, he needs to bring that to her and let her know that it's disrespectful to him. And, you know,
yeah,
I guess they need to go to counseling, because that's what my wife and I did, and it helped our marriage. Mm.
Yeah, somebody on the live line said, where would you recommend a couple to go to marriage counseling?
Well, if they're involved at a church, it seems like their church, I don't know, the pastor was just deployed, I guess, and you know, they don't take it to the church leadership, but if you're involved at a church, I feel like that's where you would need to start. You know, here at Calvary, obviously, there are many great biblical counselors here, you know, pastors on staff here.
But if it's a smaller church, wouldn't you be, can you understand that you would be scared to bring it to the church?
Yeah, I can understand that, because it is very scary having to do that, kind of, quote,
air your dirty laundry.
And then sometimes not even that, it might not be that it's a small church, but sometimes it really helps to genuinely get an objective opinion.
Right.
And so that's why I would say, beyond just looking at the leadership at your church, maybe seek out some professional Christian counseling elsewhere. Because a lot of times people are too close to the situation and they don't even realize it.
That's very true. We got so many people chiming in. Somebody chimed in with their email address saying, man, I went through this. Our marriage was restored. I'd love to go through this with the person. Unfortunately, they sent it anonymously. We have no information. We don't know how to get a hold of him. Somebody chimed in and said, my husband and I separated, or something similar. Years and years went by, and I focused on God, put my trust in him. God restored our marriage. We're stronger than before. I never gave up on my husband. The live line blew up. And it's kind of unfortunate, but it's just the truth. And maybe it's helpful, because a lot of times when somebody's going through something really heavy, they think they're the only one, that no one understands. And a lot of people understand. So I hope you're listening, friend, and you understand that you're not the only one that's gone through this, that is going through this. And most of the people that have chimed in have said God restored their marriage by them focusing on God. Now, I will say, we actually had somebody else chiming in saying, you know, some friends are going through this, and the wife will not apologize. And, you know, she just constantly throws her husband under the bus. And the sad thing is that they're Christians, and the best friend is a Christian. And she complains that her husband serves God too much. I bring that one up because we just had somebody else chime in saying, hey, man, there are two sides to everything. And we had some really great friends in the church who... the husband was just ministry. Mm-hmm. That was like, and I don't want to say that's the God he served, because he truly was serving the Lord. But man, for those of us in ministry, it's also a reminder that I learned years ago from a great pastor friend that our family must be our first ministry. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times us in ministry, we work tirelessly. We pour out hours and hours and hours and hours to strangers, but we're not providing the very basic needs to our spouse, to our children. And man, it's almost like, what's the point? You know, like we want to be loving to our neighbors, and we want to minister. And yet at the same time, we almost abandon families. You know, it's like, oh, I got to work Christmas. Sorry, guys. I got to, you know, this day. And if your family's not along with you, you always want to make sure you bring your family alongside you if you're serving in ministry. Because if you're trying to rock it solo, or if you're just so busy and you're not even realizing there's no date night, there's no, you know, family time, you're missing all your kids' games. You know, that was very convicting for me, because I wasn't able to attend a lot of my kids' things, and it was like, something's got to change, because I'm impacting them for the rest of their lives. And so I would say there are two sides to everything, And this person actually chimed in and said, been there, unfortunately. Two sides to everything without going into details. There's only so much a man can do. Going through a divorce, and it's bad. Very bitter. I did what I could. We had a counselor for over a year, but nothing changed. I realized that God can only do so much. He cannot and will not force anyone to change. I take full responsibility for my part. I know that I will stand before God for my failure in our marriage. I did what I could. I prayed. I admitted my failure. I told her I loved her. I asked for forgiveness. Nothing changed. She was done. Now the divorce is proceeding. From her part, the anger is still there. The bitterness still rages. So I'm okay with it being over. I still pray for her, but she needs to make the choice to change. Mm. I think that's one big thing is no one can force someone to change.
Yeah.
No one can. Mm-hmm. And so you gotta continually work on you and what is going on. Lots of prayers, I will say, friend, lots of prayers going out to you from the Starmie, people chiming in saying that they'll be praying for the marriage, that her heart would be changed enough to stop going down this horrible road. So, but that's another reason why you gotta get into a conversation with her sooner than later, because the longer you let it just linger and chill and kind of don't approach it, the further down the road she could go without you even knowing it.
Yep. So. Man, good stuff. Thank you, Starmie, for chatting.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Oh.
You know, and we weren't even planning on this email.
Not at all.
But we came to work this morning. We saw it. And, of course, if they said they didn't want us to share it on the air, then we wouldn't have shared it on the air. But I really think this person really, really is just he's reaching out for any help he possibly can get. Yeah. And he's scared to reach out to his church, it sounds like. So I think reaching out to us is great. I love that. And I love that we have that anonymous email on the website.
Yeah, and they actually just chimed in using that same service again.
So they're listening.
So listening.
Good.
And it is what we're talking about. A very small church. They don't want to bring it to the church leaders because he wants to protect his wife.
Mm. Yeah,
but at the same time, you also want to protect your marriage in that you would like it to continue, you know? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures, and I would say, you know, even if it's not your church leadership, if you are here in Albuquerque, there are, I know of a great, I'm trying to think of the name, but at the same time, we are non-com. I'm trying to get that of a Christian counseling service here in town that, not necessarily quote affiliated with any church, but and he does admit he knows there are things that he can work on in his life. He needs to communicate more in general, but he also says, I don't think that I've done anything that could warrant this happening. Man, a lot of
that's where counseling, but that's where counseling comes in, because
right,
a lot of times
right,
we don't know if we're even doing anything wrong until we sit down and talk with somebody about it.
It's so true. No matter how much you love somebody, it's so hard to remember that, even especially when you're married and you've been through so much together and you are one. But at the same time, that is a different person than you. And that person has had completely different life experiences than you have. And even little bitty things that we do that we don't even think about can, and this might sound like some mumbo jumbo to people, but it's true. So I'm just going to say it. Like, little things that we do can activate things in our spouse that we might not even know is there. And maybe we've never talked about it because it's something that they're embarrassed about. Mm-hmm. But it had a huge impact on them when they're kids. Like, we all have our own story. And that's why marriage is so hard, is because you are melding two stories together to create a new one.
Yeah.
And so that's why I believe counseling is it's a huge thing. Christian counseling can really, really, really help you open up those lines of communication. I'm betting that if you get in it, stuff will come to the surface and you'll be like, I had no idea.
Yep. Yeah. That's because lack of communication.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge. Somebody else just chimed in and said, maybe she's feeling a lack of attention from him. He should try to romance her more the more she steps away. Just keep pursuing. You never stop pursuing, because we serve this God who never stops pursuing. Mm-hmm. He never stops pursuing us. So you continue to do that. You continue to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So it's a high calling, and it's difficult, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm not sitting here going, man, marriage is so easy. I've been married 14 years and it's so hard. It is so hard. Mm-hmm. It's constantly, it's self-sacrificing. And I don't wake up every morning and go, dude, how can I serve my family today? Mm-hmm. It's difficult.
Yeah.
But we do it, man. We have to. Somebody chimed in and said, as the woman who has been the, quote, wife in this situation, he's got to do something. She's most likely doing all of the things he thinks she is. If he allows her to continue and does nothing, it's just going to escalate. Every time I would misbehave, I knew exactly what I'd have to do to get back in my ex-husband's good graces. He'd continue to forgive me, and there was no reason for me to stop doing what I was doing. He did this so many times that I never had any serious consequences until he packed his bags, moved out. I wasn't interested in changing. If she's in school, there's also a chance that she's just in the marriage until she finishes school and no longer cares. I understand trying to preserve the family, but allowing him to be destroyed in the process is not the answer either. Mm-hmm. My actions destroyed my ex, and he still has issues as a result. I now never make friendships with men, period. I will spend the rest of my life making amends for the damage I've done.
Wow.
Well, yet another reason why you just got to have that conversation. It's going to be uncomfortable. It really is, especially if she's like wanting to be more private and have her space. But if you just continue to let her go, that's exactly what's going to happen. She's just going to go. Dig in, man. Dig into those trenches and fight.
Ugh.
I know, right?
Just praying for
9
you,
9 o'clock hour right around the corner.
We
talk your favorite Halloween candy.
I found a heartwarming story about a Chicago public school that's not doing a, quote, Christian haunted house anymore because of some of the things that were going to be depicted.
All right. 585 Live, you can chime in on the conversation. We got more headlines coming up. We'll be right back, Starman.
Attention station employees, very funny. Whoever ordered the creepy clown, please come and get him at the front office. No, I do not want a balloon animal. Stay away from me. Don't you touch me.
The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Teo.
We are back.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, take my hand. Come with me. No. Come with me.
You're not supposed to trust people like that. Well, this sounds kind of happy.
Come with me to Transylvania.
Wait a second.
You'll like it there. You'll look grand in Transylvania, cobwebs in your hair. We'll hear the wolves at eventide. We'll have our coffins side by side. When we arise, we'll feel such pride to be home, to be home. You'll like the folks in Transylvania.
What is happening?
They're just your kind.
You want to go to Transylvania?
You feel at home among the
mummies. Okay, we won. It is 9:04.
High today of 77 degrees.
How were the roads on this ghoulish Halloween? Whoa, that just shut it right off. What happened?
I don't know.
Not cool, man.
That email is terrifying.
Dude.
That's the scariest thing I've seen on Halloween. Wow, wow, wow. Lots of construction all around the city. Let's see, we had an accident earlier. Yeah, Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue at Oak Street. That was reported earlier, so it might still be going on. Maybe you have to avoid that area. And there's also an accident, Highway 528 at Southern Boulevard / Meadowlark Lane. That was updated about 15 minutes ago, and it just happened. So watch out for that. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Beautiful.
Boom, 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 boom.
Beautiful, guys. Beautiful. Let's just run down real quick if we just have a little bit of time here.
Are we going to really? Wait, what? No.
What?
What do we? What? Run down what? What?
What am I supposed to do?
Oh, I don't know. Are we moving on?
Are we?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't going to do that, Emo.
We were in full move on.
I'm like, dude, I can't anymore.
No, I wasn't going there.
Oh.
I wanted to talk about the top signs you're at a redneck Halloween party.
Hey-o! Number one, am I there?
The top signs you're at a redneck Halloween party. The only thing that's really scary is the giant Confederate flag on the living room wall.
Watch out.
It might be a redneck Halloween party.
That's a real thing.
It's your first time hearing Don't Fear the Reaper played by a guy blowing into a jug.
Pretty
redneck.
Yep.
Wait. Can we just try? Can you just do that with your water bottle, please?
There's mine.
Okay. Perfect. Never mind. I forgot. Perfect. You're very un...
Okay. Perfect.
Okay, please stop.
Okay, you do it.
I don't want to touch... What if... Dude, my kid is sick. Deo's sick. What if everybody's got strep? I'm just worried it's strep.
You know what? Be fine. Just
I don't want to put my lips on your water bottle, yo. I'm trying to keep you healthy.
That zombie who's missing the bottom half of his face is actually a guy who got mouth cancer from Redman. Redman.
Boom.
I didn't... Okay.
Should have read that one first. Hey-o! Do you need to dump it?
No, I'm good.
Still got time.
Little Red Riding Hood has two full tattoo sleeves. Mm-hmm. Might be at a redneck Halloween party.
Watch out.
The winner of the scariest costume contest is dressed as a Democrat.
Good green. That's good.
The pumpkin carving knife is covered in leftover squirrel meat.
Squirrel.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
This is a crazy list.
Any woman dressed as a witch hears, oh, nice Hillary Clinton costume. Ah! And you might be at a redneck Halloween party if almost everyone's dressed up as Daryl from The Walking Dead, because what the heck? They already had a crossbow and a Harley.
Hey-o! Okay. It's an easy costume.
That's good, man. These are all great.
Dex. What are you doing? What are you doing so early in the morning?
Well, I grew up in redneck costume Halloween parties.
In Montana.
Montana.
Montana. You
know, my neck of the woods. Lots of rednecks up there.
Boo, 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 boo.
And lots of Confederate flags in Mississippi.
Yeah. Stop it. What are you going to do now? You just stopped.
I like the uncomfortable silence.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You pretend like you did.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Ghostbusters!
Something strange.
What is this?
Little now home.
Hold on.
Gonna call
Ghostbusters.
What I've done is...
That's right, my friend.
I've put pumpkins in the studio, and now I am... beating on pumpkins.
You're gonna break one if you're not.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Yeah, some guy. He set up a bunch of pumpkins.
Feel good.
He decided to drum on the pumpkins, and this is what he came up with.
Ghostbusters.
Too much time. Too much time.
Oh, man. Speaking of too much time, John the Uber driver just chimed in. He drove an elementary school kid dressed up as Donald Trump.
Yep. A lot of kids going as Trump.
It's fun that a kid's using Uber like that.
Luke wanted to go as Trump.
Did he?
Yeah, and I vetoed it.
What?
Yeah. Chris is like, come on, why not? Why? Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
That's hilarious. Orange face. All, and I'm like, no. Because I don't want to have to deal with other parents tonight who are like, oh, you're making it. I'm like, no, I'm not, no.
Remember the email we got?
It was just funny.
Remember the email we got?
Yeah, exactly. And so I was like, no. And Chrissy, she, were.
Did you guys know? Have you ever heard of the Halloween mask prediction?
No.
Saw this on my shows
Uh-oh.
Last night, too.
Uh-oh.
Did you?
Check this out. Right now, the election is crazy. We all know that. It's the scariest thing happening in America. But there's a weird, creepy forecast of the winner of the election, and it has to do with Halloween masks. Check this out. I guess...
Whoa. Is it somebody on the plexiglass?
Yeah, what is it? What?
Did you anyway, lock someone up? I just don't...
Check this out. For the past... Okay, ever since the presidential election of 1996, okay... 20 years, for the past 20 years.
Talk to me.
In each election, the best-selling Halloween mask of the two candidates has won the election. For the past 20 years.
So who...
Because right now, you've got the Hillary mask that's very popular.
Right?
And the Trump mask. Right? Steve-O's kid wanted to be Donald
Trump.
Which
was just weird to me. I was like, why? Because it's not like we're in the house all like, make America great, man. Am I right?
No.
Like, no one's.
And here's the most terrifying thing. Well, depending on where you sit.
Nah, I just think it's because he's a better caricature, because I'm willing to bet Trump's, like, destroying her in
Americans the mask. Choose Trump
yep.
to be funny.
Yep.
They choose Clinton because typically people like her. Trump masks are outselling Clinton masks 55-45%.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So if we're going with the past 20 years...
But he's a reality TV star. He's Donald Trump. He's larger than life. He gets people talking. I don't know. I don't necessarily believe that this one. When was the last time we had like a crazy dude running for office? It was like basically an actor and a Republican. And
man, you just talk yourself into corners all the time. We got some local news. Let's jump into basketball. Ready? Basketball. And basketball. Former UNM Lobo Kendall Williams is taken in the NBA D-League draft.
Congratulations. I loved watching Kendall Williams
play. He was drafted to the Raptors.
Cool.
That's my favorite team.
Dude, I'll tell you D-League. What, man. I like Kendall Williams. Yep. He was always fun to watch. Always fun to watch.
Too bad we won't really get to watch him.
I know. Well, you never know, man. Whatever, dude.
Minor league baseball.
Everybody starts somewhere.
Because the Raptor is a dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
Look out. Rah! Love dinosaurs. Love them. Love dinosaurs. All right, let's move on to some weekend movie box office news. Because Madea held down even he... Tom Hanks, that's right, of movie fame and fortune, Madea held him back from the number one spot. Boo, a Madea Halloween.
Boo!
Whoa. Made $16.7 million. It's up to $52 million in the second week. And coming in at number two, Tom Hanks starring Inferno, which is the third installment of the Robert Langdon series. You know, that's Angels and Demons and Da Vinci Code and whatnot. Spooky. Jack Reacher Never Go Back was number three. The Accountant was number four. And Ouija, Origin of Evil, was number five. Why would you waste money on that? I don't know. Ask the board. Only it can predict it. Here's a creepy story. The New York Opera was evacuated when a man sprinkled powder. Was it someone's ashes?
What?
For all of you who ever said the opera was boring, well, maybe not. The New York Metropolitan Opera was performing William Tell on Saturday, and during the intermission, a guy in the audience wandered up to the orchestra pit and started sprinkling a mysterious powder. So the opera was canceled, and everyone had to leave. What is happening?
He just keeps hitting the wrong button.
Trying to get opera music, and none of these work.
Oh, sola mia.
Stop it.
Oh, fantamigla.
Your voice.
You cut my mic.
Sorry.
Hey, here we go.
Oh, stop.
Look, I got it. I got the overture from William Tell right here. This is it. This is the one. Come on. Let me have it. There it is. Wait, I thought this was Lone Ranger.
That is. Come on, everybody knows that. William Tell, who's that? I mean, come on. Am I right?
Now the police are investigating what the powder was.
Hail Silver, away!
Oh, man.
According to the head of their counterterrorism division, here's their working theory. Quote, we have spoken to witnesses who said the individual was from out of town, indicated he was here to sprinkle ashes of his friend, his mentor in opera, during the performance.
A lot of people do that.
They know the guy's identity. So far, he hasn't been arrested. It's a Halloween ashes sprinkling. People do it all the time.
Weird. Side note, my dad's birthday was Halloween and my parents' anniversary, and he was cremated, and we spread his ashes. So
at the opera?
Not at the opera. It was in our property in Mora, New Mexico.
There he.
The rumor is his ghost still resides there. Which is
forever.
Yeah. It's the only white thing in Mora, New Mexico.
Get out of here.
Why does this person call us JTD?
Probably Jackie, Tony, Donnie.
Yeah,
I think they keep texting.
No.
Huh?
Jeter, Teo, Dex, man. It makes sense.
Teo.
JTD.
Do you think?
Jeter Teo Dex.
I think they're saying Jackie Tony Donnie.
I think they're texting Jackie Tony Donnie.
I think.
We're not doing ghost stories.
No, I think we need to change the morning show name to JTD. Jeter, Teo, and Dex.
That's the peak morning show. You can't do that.
I wouldn't know that because I'm on the air from 6 to 10. So there was even a billboard of us last week that said JTD. And I was like, oh, dude, Jeter, Teo, Dex.
That's not us. That wasn't us in the picture, though.
It's the all new Jeter, Teo, Dex.
All new.
JTD.
I don't know about that. Everyone. I don't know about it. Well, today is Halloween, which means tomorrow is Christmas. And a judge in Florida ruled on Thursday that a family puts up they put up this giant Christmas display each year. And all of the neighbors hate it because it's over the top. But a judge has ruled that they can keep on doing it. Just keep on trucking, friend.
Keep on trying.
We have a clip, I think.
The over-the-top setup included 200,000 Ferris wheel, a 30-foot-tall lighted tree, parades, and snow. Woo! In a Scrooge-type move, the city of Plantation sued the Hyatt family in 2014, claiming the Christmas display was a nuisance and created traffic safety issues. But the judge disagreed, saying the city failed to prove its case. Some neighbors claimed the lawsuit was personal.
You know, I felt it was a personal vendetta and an absolute flagrant waste of taxpayers' money.
Absolutely.
Seriously,
I agree.
Hi, everyone.
Here's the funny thing about that is that they're not even putting up their Christmas lights this year.
Oh. They're like, we're bored.
Yeah, it's just real busy. There's a lot of family things happening. I'm glad they won.
That's how it goes.
Friends
of
America. Can I talk baseball for a second?
Hey, we cut his mic off real quick. Do we want to let him talk baseball during my news time?
It's your news segment, so you tell him. Steva?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
May I please have... Yes. Guys, we always fight on the air about the differences between football and baseball.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
What is America's pastime? Well...
Sleeping.
No.
If you're...
NBA.
Taking last night into consideration... Major League Baseball is still America's pastime. Last night, in a rare occurrence, the NFL went head-to-head with Major League Baseball. It doesn't really happen because it's rare to see the seasons truly intersecting in games that matter. But last night, Game 5 of the World Series took place at the same time as one of the more hyped matches of the season, the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Dallas Cowboys in Sunday Night Football. Both were nationally televised, NBC and Fox. And the ratings are in, my friend.
Oh, my goodness.
And Major League Baseball must be feeling pretty good today. Staring at the news correctly. They scored a monster 15.3 overnight rating, beating Sunday Night Football, which was the Eagles and Dallas Cowboys. They drew an 11.6.
Because it's the World Series.
It was a blowout. It was the first time since 2011 that the World Series beat Sunday Night Football.
What if it would have been the Ostriches versus the apartment
buildings?
Nobody would have changed.
It was the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys, arguably the two top rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. These kids are going to be the face of the NFL for the next decade. You got Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys and Carson Wentz for the Philadelphia Eagles. Two phenomenal rookie quarterbacks. Everybody's talking about it. It was one of the most hyped matchups of the season.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. And it's also a once-in-a-lifetime World Series. Yeah. Once in many lifetimes.
If it was regular baseball season, there's no way.
Yeah, if you'd have had the sandwiches versus the shoes, then nobody would have watched.
All right, you guys go ahead.
No, are we wrong?
Well, read to me.
Are we wrong?
Read
somebody
to
else
me.
Just chimed in and said, actually, America's pastime is Netflix.
There you go. Facebook.
But
hey, read to me the couple of words before you said it beat it. It said there was a word called rare.
Yeah, it was rare.
Which means it never happened.
Right. But it
Nuff
happened.
Nuff said.
In 2016, in America.
Nuff said.
In America, guys. In America.
You can't try to convince us that baseball is America's pastime.
Last night was so exciting. But I will say, last night's football game.
Football.
Dallas and Philly put on a game. Gosh, it was fantastic.
Is this why we haven't seen Stever?
Probably. He's in mourning. Because Dak Prescott last night, in overtime, man, they drove down the field. He drew back.
Yeah.
It looked like he was rolling right, and then he spun out left. Faked out the entire defensive line. Everybody's like running right. Too late. Jason Witten wide open in the end zone by himself. Boom. Touchdown, Cowboys. Ball game. It was phenomenal.
He was wide open. Nobody was even on him.
Nobody was on. Well, that's because Dak rolled right and then immediately did that beautiful spin left.
It was a screen and roll.
It was incredible, dude. It was incredible.
Proud of Dak for doing that tootsie roll and getting out of
there. He did the stop, drop, and roll, and touchdown, game over. They were on fire.
Beautiful. Boom. And literally. And one.
And one. A 55-year-old Trump supporter in Iowa got arrested last Thursday. She tried to vote for him twice.
What?
20-year-old guy in the Ukraine won an iPhone 7 last Friday and had to change his name to iPhone 7 to win it, and he did. And now we're trying to contact our friend iPhone 7, but we're having issues getting through because we only have sixes.
Would you change your name to iPhone 7?
For what? If you got a free phone?
Yeah.
No, dude.
Heck yeah, I would.
Okay, wait. Okay, let's seriously ask this question. iPhone 7, no. That's stupid.
Nah.
What would you change your name to if they gave you a free version of that?
Time Machine.
No, it's stupid. Nope. I mean, like something.
Nope. Time Machine.
I told you.
Which is ironical because I was about to say DeLorean.
Yep.
I would go by DeLorean.
Can you imagine if you introduced yourself as iPhone 7?
I am iPhone 7. You can call me phone for short.
iPhone 7.
I'm going to do that next time I meet
my
somebody.
My friends call me 7.
I'm just going to see what they do.
Siete.
Hi, iPhone 7.
How are you?
Uh-oh. Come Steve-o, on. People are fighting you on the live line. Yeah, Steve-o, course. If a regular season baseball game went against the Super Bowl, the baseball game would have zero viewers.
Yeah.
A public Chicago elementary school has canceled a, quote, Christian haunted house after learning the event would include depictions of some pretty grotesque scenes, including a reenactment of the mass shooting at Orlando's Pulse Club, which happened earlier this year.
What?
50 people were gunned down.
I have no response.
It was also going to do a botched abortion and the 2015 Charleston church shooting.
What is wrong with humans?
They were going to do it at an elementary school. You had to have an adult if you were 13 or younger.
A lot of the shootings happen at elementary schools.
No, that doesn't... Okay.
That makes it
worse. You need to stop talking. Are you the yelling guy? I feel like you are the yelling guy.
So what happened was, this is the way it was billed to the school, to the Chicago Public Schools, whatever. It said, you will walk in 10 rooms and encounter individuals who will have to make choices. The choice is life or death, sin or salvation, heaven or hell. The scenes will be action-packed, real, and jaw-dropping. That's the way they build it. But then as soon as the school board found out what they were going to be depicting, boom, shut it down.
Teaching lesson. This is a time to teach the kids.
Are you trying to take the opposite
viewpoint? I don't know if you should, friend. I don't know if this one should be defended.
This is not where you should take a stand.
Well, you told me off the air that you wanted to go down that road.
No, I'll take it. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Chicago Public Schools announced on October 28th the event was canceled. They said, quote, the event organizers mischaracterized the true content of the event, and we did not approve any association with the activities the organizers have now advertised. This event will not be held on CPS property.
Wow.
We used to have judgment houses or hell houses or whatever.
Like that documentary on Netflix? Have you seen that?
Yes.
Isn't it called Hell House?
I think so. The church, there were a few churches in my town that would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd give you a glimpse of what hell's supposed to be like.
But it was always a very generic, there was a drunk driving accident. You know, it was a very generic thing. I think this was a lot too topical. This is way too much. I mean, what would have happened if a church would have done a 9/11 thing few months after that happened?
Yeah.
You know, it would have been you can't do that. I mean, people make joke commercials about 9/11 now, and their businesses go under.
Right.
So I think this was just too topical.
But even if it's just a hell house, you know, without, you know, those dramatic shootings that they put in there, is that the right way to try to get somebody to become a Christian?
I feel like it's a 90s scare
tactic. Yeah, and that's awful.
Because it's just a different environment. We live in a different world than we did when I was growing up in the church. It seems like in the 90s, the church, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's like economic factors or what, but it was just a lot like, it was more scare tactics. It was more like flash, boom, bam, entertainment value. You had things like, I mean, that was the height of Christian music. That's when you had like the Power Team coming through. You had these crazy judgment houses. And nowadays, they still happen. It's just very few and, you know, it's not as much as it was.
Especially when you think about the reasoning behind it. Mm-hmm. Because currently right now, Pastor Skip is going through this amazing series here at Calvary, Crash and Burn. And it's, hey, this is real. This is a person within Scripture who made a decision that cost him his life, that cost Israel something, that cost, you know, and it was seeing the butterfly effect, if you will, of someone's decision and how it impacted others. My dad passed away. Today's his birthday. He passed away 32 years ago, and I'm still affected as his kid by decisions he made that ended up costing him his life, right? And so I think it is good on one hand to be reminded of those things so that you're not doomed to repeat that, but the tactic used is what you've got to...
That's important.
Yes, man, because you're right. If it's just a crazy scare tactic...
If you make something into a show, it's very easy for people to walk away and disconnect because they can look at it as entertainment. And especially in a world where we have like the most popular show on TV is The Walking Dead, it's super easy to roll up in a judgment house or a hell house and be like, oh, that's just like Walking Dead. That's not real. Dude. And just disconnect.
That's why I'm such a fan of the series Skip's doing right now. Seriously, because there's no scare tactics. It's just like, hey, A plus B equals, like, if you do this, this is going to happen. Here's what God's word says about it. Don't be dumb. You know what I mean? It's not like, ooh, look at these horrific photos of... Okay. What was that?
Stop it.
What was that?
Was that a spooky ghost?
I'm never going to go into a plexiglass room ever again.
Bright
Thank you,
outside.
Man. That scare tactic really worked, Dex.
Guys, it's the sun is shining. What are you afraid of?
Well, on the flip side, somebody just chimed in and said, hey, saw one of those with our youth group once. Actually, pretty powerful stuff.
I would like to know when that was.
1999.
Yeah, saw one of those. When was that? 91?
Pre-Walking Dead.
I do think that has a big effect on it, honestly. Yeah. Like, we live in a world post-9/11 where everything is different.
Yeah.
Everything is different. You've seen the church make huge shifts in the way that it reaches out to people. And the judgment house can just come off as so extreme and so just entertainment based.
The judgment house.
People can just walk away from it and disconnect.
I'm in love with my life.
Thank you, Tao.
Oh my gosh.
Who's doing that?
Why won't they go away? Go away!
Why are they doing that?
Sorry, I can't yell. I don't want to be yeller guy.
That was my buddy Sprinkles. He wanted to come in and talk about trick or treating.
Shout out to the live line. Got a comment from Los Alamos saying, first time listener, great show, guys. Surprised the yelling guy hasn't been fired.
Ooh.
Scare tactic. It's not working on me.
Damn.
It's not working.
We got to take a break. 585-5483. You can text the show. When we come back, what are we going to do when we come back? What do we have left?
I'll just chill out, man. Hang out.
Hey, side note, somebody else chimed in and said, scaring people into a relationship with Christ with shoddy interpretation of Scripture, best way to share the gospel. What was
that? Dex.
What?
Where? Why did you hire Buck Aaron to come do that?
Because
he doesn't have a job.
The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Tao.
And we're back.
We are back.
World Series Game 5.
Democratic and Republican lawmakers are calling on FBI Director James Comey to release more information about emails potentially tied to Hillary Clinton.
Speaking Sunday on ABC's This Week, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Robert Goodlatte, said he had spoken to Comey on Saturday and asked him to release more information as soon as possible.
I think that he is very conscious of the controversy that has existed in the FBI and in the Justice Department.
The emails were discovered as part of an investigation into former Congressman Anthony Weiner.
Italy struck with another earthquake.
The quake was the strongest in nearly 36 years.
More than 100 people on an American Airlines flight from Los Angeles to Toronto are safe after the plane was diverted to Denver.
Halloween weekend helped give Boo, Madea, Halloween some staying power.
Children today, you got to drop the hammer on them.
What's the worst that can happen to her? How you think I met your mama?
Almost 17 million more in tickets this weekend, followed by Inferno, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, The Accountant, and Ouija.
Welcome to the Halloween Candy Testing Center. Here we determine just how much sugar to put in each piece of candy.
Look, I can jump from the couch to the ceiling fan.
Not enough sugar in our candy will have no effect whatsoever on your children, making it pointless.
Oh, I'm going to climb up the bookcase and pretend to be a mountain goat.
Too much sugar and the adverse effects can be dangerous.
Oh, I can fly.
So, when your kids open that bag of candy this year, remember, each gram of sugar has been carefully measured and tested.
Look, steak knife!
At the Halloween Candy Testing Center, sugar highs are our business.
I got a woman, she's 6'3". Ooh, buddy, what she doing to me? She got loving and
every day I worry about you more. Yeah. Every single day.
Yep. Pretty much.
Elvira!
They're going to say, hey, when did you start worrying about Dex at work? And I'm going to say January 13, 2016. That was the second day.
Vampira, baby, vampira. 9:42, good morning.
High today of 77 degrees. Good morning.
Let's take a look at traffic. Good morning. Not saying any accidents popping up, but don't forget, earlier...
Wait, can I start over real quick?
Yes, please.
Sorry, guys.
And now, the latest traffic report from Frankenstein.
Almost forgot about that one, didn't I? Almost forgot. You'd have been so sad if you forgot it.
This has been Frankenstein traffic.
Man, I was forgot to play that one on
good
Halloween.
Group. Hey, don't forget, guys, up in Rio Rancho, there was an accident earlier, Highway 528 at Southern Boulevard. And there's probably still a little congestion around that. Be careful. That's your look at traffic.
Thank traffic!
Frankenstein for helping me out.
I think my vocal cords are screwed
I think
up.
You guys are getting sick. Guys, over the weekend... I got sick. It's a rare occurrence, but it happened. I feel better today.
Wish you wouldn't have tried to kiss me. Okay.
It was a weekend. Halloween.
Hey!
Thanks, Harry.
585 Live, you can chime into the conversation. Yeah, that person texted back and said, my bad, totally texted the peak.
Is our live line like the peak?
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, snap.
Maybe it's because I was saying JTD and everybody thought it was Jackie, Tony, Don.
No, they probably text both shows and they probably just accidentally texted us.
Wow. How are they listening to both shows? Both of them.
Guys,
who's the yeller on Jackie, Tony, Donnie?
I'm
pretty sure it's the woman.
It's Jackie isn't it?
Darn it, I forgot to hit another button.
Let's hit it.
I'm just messing up today.
Make this traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit, located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com, or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
Math.
There man, I want that guy to read me bedtime stories at night. So soothing and just sultry.
The woman from JTD?
Lovely. Yes, that one.
Okay. Man, you know, something's a little off today, guys.
What?
It's Halloween.
What are you talking about? Today's show's been phenomenal.
It's been great.
Phenomenal.
It's been a great show, but something's a little off.
What is it?
Whoop! Okay. Get him. Get him.
Did you record that this morning? Did you record that sound?
What are you talking about?
Did you
about?
Hold a mic up and then go...
Because it does sound like somebody's knocking on our window. Gosh, stop it.
What do you want, Ghost?
I look every time.
I know.
I turn the lights... Oh!
Okay.
It's scary.
Guys. I heard the mouse click that time.
It's so scary.
I don't like it.
Here, let me do it.
Do Did you try to do it?
By the way, earlier in the show, we had a conversation because of a person chiming in anonymously who needed some help in their marriage. Just chimed in and said, wanted to extend a thank you to you guys in the Starmie. Really appreciated. Him and his wife have talked a little bit. Didn't go so well. But I will use this help as my battle cry to fight for my wife. Pray for us. Thank you. Love you guys so much. Love you too, man.
Love you guys.
Brian.
Love you. Now, press 2.
Oh.
We don't have time.
Yes, we do.
No, we do.
Hello?
Hi, is this Star 88?
Yes.
Yeah?
Hi. This is my first day ever listening to you guys.
Uh-oh.
Yeah?
Okay. I just wanted to tell the guys that I thought the show was great.
Oh, hey. Thank you.
Can we patch you into them? Because they're on the air right now. Can we just patch you
sure.
through?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely.
Just make sure you keep your energy up. You got great energy. But when we patch you through, it's going to be live radio. So we need you to keep that energy going. And
okay.
Be careful, though. There's a guy named Steve-O on the show. His voice is a little, he's having some vocal cord issues.
I heard that, yeah.
Yep.
And also, he hates women.
And, yeah, I didn't want to say it, but if you talk to him, you know what, don't talk to him. Just talk to Teo and Dex, because,
he's having vocal issues anyways.
So we're going to patch you through, okay? Are you ready to go?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Absolutely.
Hey, you're live. Good morning.
Hey, how are you guys?
Fantastic. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Good, good. Listen, I have to tell you, I was having a miserable night physically.
Wow.
And so I was kind of trolling around the radio stations, and I fell on your station and heard that there was going to be a morning show.
Yeah.
This is my first day ever listening to you guys. The stuff that I learned, the entertainment that I received, I thought you were absolutely awesome.
Thank you.
Who is this?
My name is Shelly. I'm down in Belen, New Mexico.
Nice. Shelly in Belen, New Mexico. So you're female.
Uh-oh. Hey, Steve-O. Stop.
Yes, I know I have an odd voice sometimes, I know. I hear Steve-O, that there are some froggy voices there this morning.
Steve-O, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry he insulted
you. He's had
you.
Vocal surgery, your voice. And he's not doing too well.
He is known for not liking women in general.
Okay. Did you hear that scream?
Don't scream.
Shelly, do not listen
to
them.
You can
it's Halloween. Do not listen to them. They are liars, and the truth is not in them. I love women.
No.
No, wait. Gosh.
Yeah, you see that? Objectifying. That's what he does. And as a feminist, I'm offended. Uh-huh. Just objectifying women.
My wife's going to kill me.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, man.
Do you hear the way he said my wife like she was property?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Well, did you hear that?
I don't even know what to say.
Whatever.
Okay.
I heard that. All right, sweeties, you have a good rest of the day.
You too,
okay?
Thank you.
Bless all of you.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Thank
bless you.
All right.
Let's save it.
Woo.
Bless up.
Receive it.
Hashtag bless up.
I hate you guys.
Why do you hate women so much?
Oh, man.
That should be a new topic. Do you think on Halloween you could just dress up as somebody who likes women?
The best part is after you guys said I hated women, I was like, I got to redeem myself. So I'm like, oh, so you're female. Before I could do anything, you guys just...
Oh, man.
Did you hear that? He doesn't think you're equal.
Gosh.
Hey, let me play some more of this Reliant
Oh,
K.
Man. You guys are literally the worst.
Let's get into these Halloween blues.
That was sweet.
It was good.
Are you getting
Here's
a
reminder
from this Reliant K album?
To the Starmie listening right now. Maybe you have friends out there who've never heard of the Morning Invasion. Tell your friends. Every day we're getting people going, I've never heard this show before. I didn't know this station existed.
She said she was having a bad night and she stumbled into our show.
And to that
I reply, hey, maybe just walk with the lights on more and you'll quit stumbling around.
It
is nighttime and sometimes it's dark.
Somebody on the live line just said, good morning, Jackie. Can you play some Justin Timberlake this morning?
Play some JT, Jackie.
Can you rock that JT?
No, I can't.
Come on. You can't stop me. I can't sing, guys.
Oh, he said creep up and. See, it's Halloween. Creepy.
Gosh.
What if your mind worked like a television set? Mm. What if you could change channels at will? Tune into programs no one else could see? And what if you could never turn the set off? The idea of a creature larger than a gorilla with an odor like a skunk might seem far-fetched. But under the influence of marijuana.
What?
The Dream Factory. Fact, fantasy, and history have come together to tease the imagination.
God, he's got the scariest voice
he's the
ever.
He does not. That's Classic Robert Stack.
He's the Grim Reaper.
Soothing voice.
Classic Robert Stack is the Grim Reaper.
No, he's stacking not. It up.
Beautiful.
Oh, man. People, Liveline just chimed in and said, actually had to pull over, can't stop laughing.
Well, so, that's your fault. That's, quit laughing.
Wish people would realize that, you know.
Raise your standard
hey,
for comedy.
If you don't realize you're calling to talk to us right away, things might happen.
Somebody else chimed in and said, poor girl. OMG.
All right. Let's finish up our headlines.
No!
And let's go
no!
home. Now we're going to go to the gym is what's going to happen. We're going to go to the gym.
In big time news, I'm not going to the gym today. Cause
he's not.
I got sick
really
over the weekend.
Weird.
I want to be
careful. But in bigger time news, Dex and I are going. Hey, Dex, let me look you in the eyes real quick.
Uh-oh.
Hey.
Don't look at me.
I'm going today. I do not want to be alone. I have way more fun when my friends are around me, encouraging me and going, yeah. I was actually really hesitant when Teo said he wasn't going to the gym because it's like, I'm going to be alone.
Alone.
I don't want to go
alone. Yeah, you guys should have been with me when you both were at New York Comic Con.
Hey, you didn't come Friday.
You didn't go.
I know.
And you didn't go Friday.
You told us
four
times.
You
said, I'll see you there,
home. Yeah, and then I got home and I was like, I'm home. I'm just going to stay.
I told Steve, I said, Fridays, this happens sometimes.
Yep.
It's a thing on Friday.
Fridays are hard.
They're not hard. I'm kind of sad that I'm not going today because
yeah,
it's going to be a tough workout, but it's okay because I was sick and
you're
I don't want to go work out
man.
And then not be able to work out for the rest of the week. That would be tough.
It's all right, man.
You're all right. I have a few more random facts. Should I jump in?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time for...
Random
facts.
1, 2, 3, bah!
Junior Mints and Andy's Mints are not competitors. They're both produced by the Tootsie Roll Company.
Huh. Wait, what are Andy's Mints? Yeah, they're totally different.
That's right.
Andy's are the ones you get at Olive Garden, right?
Oh.
Uh-huh. I'm just trying to think of other restaurants.
Well, nobody knew this, but Andy is Andy Jr.
Oh.
Just kidding. John Quincy Adams was a member of 5 different political parties during his career. Federalist, Democratic Republican, National Republican, Anti-Masonic, and
what?
Whig. He was Democratic Republican when he was elected president. He was like a hybrid.
Yeah, that's weird.
I wish wigs were still popular.
And he got great gas mileage at the time.
Like actual wigs?
IKEA uses 1% of all the wood in the world to make furniture. Yes, even particle board still needs a little bit of actual wood.
Huh.
They use a giant amount of it. 1% of the world's wood. Weird Al song, Eat It, hit number 1 in Australia in 1984. That's the, you know, the parody of Michael Jackson's Beat It.
Just eat it!
Michael Jackson's Beat It only made it to number 3 in Australia.
Wow.
And Weird Al's parody made it to number 1.
What does that say about Australians?
They're awesome. I was hanging out with Murray Byrne yesterday. Shout out to Murray. That dude is one of my favorite human beings.
Tells me that they are upside down.
Kicked in the backyard. Drank some tea.
Who did you
kick? Guitar. Children.
Did you guys
this
know?
This has been today's edition
yeah,
of...
Yeah, that was it.
1, 2, 3.
Random.
I thought I had one more. My
no,
bad.
That's it.
Did you guys know that Rambo is being rebooted? Did you see this?
Yeah, no. And I'm pretty upset about
Sylvester
it.
Sylvester Stallone is not involved.
What?
Because
nope.
They offered him to do another Rambo, and he said he was just too old.
He's too busy doing Rocky movies.
It's called Rambo New Blood.
I agree, because the last Rambo they did was awful.
I didn't see it.
It will feature a younger actor in the same role. Stallone has not commented.
I was way more a Rocky guy than a Rambo guy. Probably because I was a child and boxing was appropriate and murdering people was not.
Smash Mouth criticized the Oakland A's for not trying to be competitive for their fans. And the Oakland A's responded with some serious blows like, quote, you have no fans. They all graduated college 18 years ago and grew up.
Oh, man.
Do the same. Dang. Tell us how you really feel, Oakland A's.
Wow, dude.
Burn face.
On her forehead. Wait, I can't sing.
Go.
Stop
singing.
Run to the rules and hit the ground running.
He can't.
I'm not singing technically. I'm just doing like the robot voice.
We're going to go back and listen. We're going to see.
We're going to see.
We got an update. Bob Dylan says he will accept his Nobel Prize in person, quote, if it's at all possible.
Okay.
And finally, because I don't want to do the Hillary Clinton, Anthony Weiner email thing. We've all heard about it. We've all heard about it. Why are you laughing? Because
he's
giggling?
So immature.
Why are you giggling
he's
over
so
there?
He's so immature.
I was just reading something on Yahoo. Uh-huh.
I bet.
Hilarious.
Not.
A boy has used his birthday party to raise money for the fallen deputy's family, and we have a clue.
Like many in the Metro, Brandon Bautista is a huge Royals fan, but this little slugger has a heart of gold.
I want to be a firefighter when I grow up, so I really support, like, cops and paramedics and firefighters that die.
Each day on Highway 69, he passes the memorial for Deputy Brandon Collins, who died last month in the line of duty.
We have the same name, Brandon Collins and Brandon Bautista.
So when Mom said this year she didn't want birthday presents to fill the house, she says it hit him.
Can we just ask my friends bring donations?
With the help of his 13 friends, he hoped to raise $50.
When she told me $335, I was just really excited, and so we could help his family.
Much of Brandon's inspiration comes from other Royals fans who have helped after tragedy.
I heard that the Marlins guy gave $10,000 to each of the firefighter families.
See, ripple effect, guys. Remember? Yeah. We were talking about the ripple effect?
Ripple effect.
That's incredible.
It's a good young man right there.
Beautiful.
All right, we're done with the show. Thanks for tuning in. You guys can text us at 585-LIVE. Thank you to all the podcasters out there. You guys continue to use that live line. So, Halloween. So you guys be careful. Watch out for all the little goblins running around tonight, getting candy.
I can't stop. Pray for my voice, guys. I'm going to have to go on vocal rest.
Big show tomorrow. We'll see you then.
It is such a good night to kiss.
That's all we got. There ain't no more. Time is tight. It's the end of the show.
Starmie, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast, downloading it.
It's because of you.
Stop downloading on the internet.
Nope.
This podcast wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for Bear Canyon CrossFit.
That's right. We want to thank all of the fine people that work over there and for helping us out with not only our podcast, but our fitness.
Yeah, and not only our fitness, but the next generations as well.
Yeah, maybe you got kids. Well, now you can enroll your kids into Bear Canyon CrossFit. You can get them to lose weight. You can get them to do better in school because guess what? They're in better shape.
Yeah.
They're healthier.
Mm-hmm.
They're better human beings.
It teaches great physical training. It's not too much. Again, it's a kid's class, but it also teaches great mental and physical discipline, which can help out a kid
Absolutely.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. Ages 5 through 12, it's every Tuesday and Thursday at 5:30 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. On Saturday, they have an 11 a.m. CrossFit Kids advanced only class. So get them signed up.
Go to BearCanyonCrossFit.com.